Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is Friday, the third day of June 2011. We're going to be live here for at least the next 3 hours. And we have the nice folks from the Ministry of Truth, the good old MI6 government-financed BBC, the folks that literally pioneered having trucks driving around, picking up the micro signals if you're watching state-run television without paying your bill. They're here trying to ensure that America becomes just like Big Brother Airstrip 1. And so it's wonderful to have them here today with their conspiracy theory show. In fact, I've debated, if you could call it that, with them fading me down once on BBC Radio, the director of this program. And basically, if you question WMDs and the premeditated lies that are confirmed, it's a conspiracy theory. If you question the fact that Diana wrote letters and made videos saying Charles tells me he's going to kill me in a fake auto accident, doesn't matter if 80%+ of the Brits know the truth and many top doctors have gone public, it's a conspiracy theory. You don't question government and dinosaur corporate lies. You don't do it because they've got a nice throwaway line of conspiracy theory. We wave the magic wand. Of course, they said for 40 years, Gulf of Tonkin was not staged to get us into Vietnam. But on the 40th anniversary, they declassified the fact that the whole thing had been staged. Oh, sorry, but you're still a conspiracy theorist to not like it. And if you question why they changed the story of the killing of bin Laden over and over again and claimed he was in a 45-minute firefight and used his wife as a shield and on and on and on, they throw the body in the sea. If you question any of that, even though we had intel 9 years before that this was being planned out in the distance, that he was already dead and had former high-level State Department and former black op commanders on breaking it down 9 years ago, doesn't matter. You don't question a government and a system that lies congenitally over and over and over again. Now, if your neighbor lies to you, we need to expand this common sense. If your neighbor lies to you dozens and dozens of times about everything, every time your neighbor watches your house, somebody pees on the carpet. And you just keep letting the neighbor do it. And then finally, you walk in one day and the neighbor's urinating on the carpet. And you say, well, you're the one doing it. And they said, no, you're a conspiracy theorist. I mean, even when you catch them red-handed, that's common sense. Being gullible, not questioning. Remember, for decades, it was a conspiracy theory. The Federal Reserve was private and had private shareholders. It's now all admitted. For more than 15 years, I told you that they would implode the global economy through derivatives and openly announce a new world government run by the private banks that you pay your carbon taxes directly to, because we had their public policy reports. But those of us that are smart enough to research and read those, we're called conspiracy theorists because ABC News, BBC, and other MSNBC and other secretly government-financed and Federal Reserve-financed organ, that's now been leaked thanks to lawsuits and other research. If you question that, it's a conspiracy theory. They have all told us that we need to learn to trust our government, learn to do what we're told, and that there is no planetary government being set up. But now the planetary government is being announced, a private fascist government. And in fact, the Financial Times of London a couple of years ago, there was a coming out party. Time Magazine, Newsweek, The Economist, Financial Times, Wall Street Journal, New York Times. In the space of a week, they all came out and said, world government's real. In fact, in the Financial Times, it said, and now for world government. And their editor went on and said, yes, we kept it secret. Yes, it's authoritarian. Yes, it's planetary. Yes, it's corporate. But you're still kooks if you don't like it. And it doesn't exist. Wow. That's like Karl Rove a few years ago told the New York Times. He said, we control reality now. And they said, but you did lie about WMDs. And he said, doesn't matter. We're history's actors now. You just follow what we say, and then you will dutifully report whatever new reality we give you. So if they tell us that we were never at war with East Asia, and the next day we've always been at war with East Asia, the BBC will say, yes, 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 double plus good. And if you question it, you're a conspiracy theorist, and Cass Sunstein says you should be arrested.
He's the T-Rex of political talk.
Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, we have an absolutely, totally jam-packed transmission lined up for you today. State Representative David Simpson is joining us. The feds came in and engaged in a behind-the-scenes skullduggery to kill the TSA anti-groping bill in Texas, leading the way. So we stormed the Capitol last Wednesday to get in their face. That became a national news story. Our listeners have been pounding Governor Perry's office with thousands of phone calls. The Capitol reportedly, the media has been basically shut down with phone calls as well. Great job. We got a good chance of forcing Perry, who claims he's against the groping and claims he supports the bill, will then put it back on the special session agenda. He hasn't done that yet. So the heat is on. Now we have Dr. Steve Pachinik, former head of psychological warfare operations for the State Department and also ran government overthrow operations. He'll be joining us to break down 9/11 and that being a staged false flag event, a recap of the staged bin Laden killing, absolute fable if you believe that, then believe that on the night of December 25th, Santa Claus will be coming down your chimney to put goodies around the Tannenbaum, the Germanic life tree. Also, Bob Chapman with his weekly visit will be joining us to break down all the huge developments on the economic front. Now, that said, I don't normally, when mainstream media comes in here, really get in their face. We've had Nightline, MSNBC, the list goes on and on. But I've had the BBC here, one of the colleagues of this fellow that's out here now, who acted very friendly for the day they were here, and then we went out to dinner afterwards, and basically at the end of dinner, they were aggressive and you know, laughed about what a chump I was, and they thought I was a kook and an idiot. I already knew that the whole time, but at least you could, you know, point is, don't have your little MI6 victory dance, you know, running around me at the restaurant. And the guy who's here today, I had a little one-sided debate where they were fading me down on BBC radio. And I've seen some clips of some of the shows they produced previously, and it's just the standard fodder. If you question anything government or big corporate whore media says, you are an insane conspiracy theorist. And it doesn't work anymore. You make fun of everybody for, you know, many, many years, over a decade, if you don't buy the official story of Diana's death. Of Princess Diana's death. 80%+ of the Brits know it's a complete fraud. Her letter's public. The government's suppressing it. New film coming out, totally proving they murdered her. It doesn't matter. You've lost all credibility. Now, they call it a conspiracy theory if you say that, that Bush premeditatedly lied about WMDs in Iraq. But it's on record that they lied in the White House memo and the Downing Street memo, premeditatedly. It's on record they lied about Gulf of Tonkin to get us into Vietnam for 40 years, saying you were a conspiracy theorist if you talked about it being staged. Well, it turns out there were news articles in Southern California when the ships came back in from the Pacific where officers got off the boat and said nobody attacked us. It was staged. So, see, things become conspiracy theories because there's a truth in it, but then over time people don't have the original documents. And the reality is, they would call you a conspiracy theorist from 1913 on if you said the Federal Reserve was private. It's now admittedly private. Its shareholders are secret. Alan Greenspan has gone on Lehrer NewsHour and said they're above the law. No one can investigate them. No one is above the law. This is not the right of the bankers as our new imperial kings pre-Magna Carta, pre-1215. It's over. And so this trick of the gullible public, not so gullible anymore, just being told, oh, trust us. Yes, we've lied to you thousands of times. Yes, you catch us lying all the time. Yes, you catch us breaking the law all the time. Just understand it's dangerous to criticize the government. The boogeyman will get you if you don't give up all your rights and liberties. I remember the BBC when archival footage got leaked onto the web of their reporters on BBC 24 and BBC World at the same time reporting Building 7, Solomon Brothers, has fallen into its own footprint. CNN also started reporting it, but Aaron Brown lived in New York, turned around, he went, or that's the report, it's right behind him. 47-story building, government offices in it, blew up with blast points, falling into its own footprint, free fall. NIST for 8 years lied and said there was no free fall. They've now had to admit that. They've thrown away the last five fake reasons they say it happened. The BBC has had these whitewash reports. But what did the BBC first do? They came out and said, that's not our footage. Then people said, of course it's your footage. Look at it on two different channels. They said, well, we lost the tapes. Oh, sure they did, of that most famous day on their two big channels internationally. They lost the tapes. You believe that, you believe the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy are real. And I said at the time, in articles we wrote, I said, Reuters is one of their main internal feeds, openly run with huge connections to CIA, MI6, Mossad, EU security, pumping propaganda. They had a false start, just like when they killed Kennedy countries in the Pacific, Australia, other areas. They, before they'd even captured and before they'd released the name of Lee Harvey Oswald, they had the papers. Back in that day, they didn't have the internet, so papers came out multiple times a day. The papers, extra edition, came out. Lee Harvey Oswald. It's called a false start. The intelligence agencies didn't get their whole story straight. So, see, BBC did that. They're fed that. I said, watch, it's going to be Reuters, because I went and researched who feeds them. And years later, it was a Reuters feed. That's why we reported it had fallen from fires in its own footprint. Well, there you have it. Expanding on that, we now have the CNN footage of the cops saying, get back. They're going to blow it up. That came out 5 years out of the archives after I'd interviewed cops that were on that video later when it was released, saying they heard the countdown to blow it up. But it gets worse. I was going to get a pizza that day. I've been broadcasting all day. I heard local ABC and CBS radio reporting they were going to blow up 7. But they said, wait, no one's going to buy that. Blow it up and then say it fell on its own. Everyone heard it. Now the NPR tapes of them announcing they blew it up in New York are out. Silverstein on PBS saying they gave the order to pull it, control demolition, and watch the building come down. This is the type of information we're talking about. Now, shifting gears to the aftermath of this incredible police state that came after 9/11, this Reichstagian event, State Representative David Simpson, who authored the bill, been the main co-sponsor, got it into the Senate, 138-0, to make a law against the TSA groping men and women and children's genitals on the outside or the inside. I've had district attorneys on. It's already illegal, but this is warning the feds. Went to the Senate, was killed. Senator Dan Patrick said that the lieutenant governor killed it. Now the lieutenant governor's under pressure. He's asked the governor to put it back on the legislative session. This is being watched by the entire world. The Drudge Report is covering this, and Infowars.com right now, DrudgeReport.com. Representative Simpson, thank you so much for joining us today, sir, and congratulations for standing up for what's right and your bold statements about this federal tyranny. Good to have you back with us.
Well, it's good to be with you, Alex. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Representative. Okay, break down, how do we get this into the special session? Why is Perry, what's the scuttlebutt? Is the governor, who claims he's for the bill, going to add it to the special session? Tell us what's happening.
Well, I'm very hopeful that he will. I do think I'm very grateful for Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst asking for it in writing to be added to the call. Right now, the call on the special session is for basically school finance, some health care matters, and for congressional redistricting. But I've asked for this as well, in addition to the lieutenant governor. And interesting, on a teleconference on Wednesday evening, or I think it was in the evening, the governor was asked about the unreasonable groping searches bill, as I like to call it, or the TSA bill, as some others call it. And he said that it was his policy school or his group was looking at it, and that he was waiting for consensus. And I'm not sure exactly what he was referring to there, but we pretty much had it was unanimous coming out of the House, and it was unanimous in the Transportation and Homeland Security Committee in the Senate. And then we almost had every vote in the Senate until the Department of Justice issued their inaccurate, bluffing letter.
Their no-fly zone threat to basically have a Libya no-fly zone. They actually said no planes in or out, federal blockade, exactly we started the Civil War.
Yeah, it was just a bluff. And we did do something, I think, that'll help. We made the effective date 90 days after enactment, so that it would give time to the state and to the, hopefully the TSA will revise their procedures, their bureaucratic rules. I mean, there's no congressional statute that allows or requires touching of private parts. The DOJ's letter was very misleading and false. It said we were going to stop all searches. It doesn't go that far at all. It just says you can't touch someone's private parts without probable cause. And they said, and unless we touch your privates, you don't fly. That's what's outrageous.
And by the way, there's a new video out of after the woman has been groped, she's crying and asking for help. And they say, look, we're going to grab your genitals and your breast or you don't fly. Then they threaten to take her son, who's videotaping its luggage, and then arrest him for daring to get evidence of the molestation.
Yeah, a friend of mine, Representative Brian Hughes, told me that one of the members on the PUC was on a flight, and they made him go through the scanner, and he opted out, and they started yelling, opt out, so he endured the so-called pat-down, which is a euphemism. And then after that was over, he saw that they were going through his luggage, and they were emptying all his, private parts, as a stop kit and whatnot, and one by one going through everything in his luggage. And he said, he asked for a manager, and he said to the manager, I opted out, but my bag didn't opt out. Why are they going through everything? And he asked, well, am I being punished? And the TSA agent or supervisor said, yes. And that's what this is all about.
Now, what they do is they get low-grade morons who literally couldn't get a job at McDonald's, who were on power trips. I mean, who else, Representative, would want to stick their hands without, her obliging in Miss America's pants? Who else would want to take diapers off one-year-old babies? Who else would want to grab the breast of a crying woman in Amarillo? And then the men said, boy, you're hot. We'd like a date. They just settled the suit with her. I mean, a lot of these TSA people are out-of-control goons. And you've had your children groped on by these people for opting out of the scanner, but now they want to do it on top of the scanner. This is really coming to a head, and it's transpartisan. It's bringing everybody together. Expanding on this, I've had former Congressman Bob Barr on, who runs Liberty Guard. He agrees it's a federal power grab about killing the 10th and 9th Amendment. It's about breaking our individual will. Representative David Simpson of Texas, who's really been at the front lines, the vanguard of this fight, how do we pressure Perry? Because Perry's saying he supported this bill, but then Dewhurst, reportedly according to Senator Patrick, nixed it but didn't want his fingerprints on it. Now Dewhurst is under major heat, does put it into a package of bills, and asked for the governor to put that in. Normally the governor would do whatever his Republican counterpart and lieutenant governor asked him to do, the leader of the Senate, as you know, but for listeners. And where is Perry? I mean, how long do we have to get him to add the groping bill, the anti-groping bill, into the special session?
He can add it at any point during the special session or even a subsequent one if hopefully we won't have one. But, I think he's a reasonable man. I mean, he wrote the book Fed Up. This fits with that program. I think we should peacefully, respectfully, write letters, email him, call him, and ask him to add it to the call. And then, get with the various senators who had a little trouble standing up to the Fed, and hopefully this thing will fly through the House and the Senate. It's filed. Senator Patrick filed it in the Senate yesterday. I filed it in the House. They're identical. And it should go straight to the governor very quickly. He just needs to, we don't even actually have to wait for him to add it to the call until we can continue to work on it, but hopefully he'll do that. And if he does that, I'm sure it would fly through the
So you're confident he is, because I'm a little surprised the governor, if he claims he's for the bill, didn't put it into his original filing of the bills he called a special session for. I mean, this is a big litmus test If Governor Perry doesn't do this, boy, his whole fed up, time to get the feds out of our lives, pro Fourth Amendment statement starts to ring a little hollow.
And he hasn't opposed it, and he stated that if there was consensus, he would support it. So that was on Wednesday, and his policy staff are looking at it, and hopefully he'll add it shortly, and we'll get this done.
What about with your personal site or your representative site posting a open letter to the senators that we know got their arms twisted? Reportedly, we had 30 of the 31, so it would have sailed through. Or can you on air give us a list, Representative Simpson, of some of the senators that we need to talk to via personal visits, phone calls, emails, to make sure that they stand up to the feds?
Well, there's not that many of them, and there's 31, and I don't know what happened on the first time. There was a group of 12 of them whose names were submitted to the lieutenant governor, who was chairing the meeting at the time, and so then Patrick withdrew the bill. And then the next night, he almost had the votes. I think I would just call whoever your senator is or email them and ask for their support. I know there were both Republicans and Democrats that didn't stand up to the DOJ when they should have.
Representative,
we still had a majority, though.
Sure, sure. So we still had a majority. So why then did Dewhurst pull it, saying he didn't have enough votes?
Well, it was really the last day for a bill to be heard, and you had to suspend the rules. And not only did you have to have a two-thirds vote, but on that day you actually had to have a four-fifths vote to suspend the rules to have a bill on second and third reading. And so we just ran out of time. I think if it had come to the Senate earlier, we'd have got the bill passed.
Okay. Representative Simpson, the last time you were on with us from the Capitol, you talked about the fact that you've been asking the TSA for their law, for their regulation, and they can't give it to you. The FBI can't randomly grab people's genitals through the pants or inside the pants, as the TSA is now doing, even to small children. And we're having men grope little girls and vice versa. Just unprecedented stuff that even, you know, Stalinist Russia didn't do publicly, but did in its dungeons. So just unprecedented. Communist China doesn't do anything near this. Some of the worst, even North Korea, I've talked to journalists, this isn't done to the general public except in special circumstances. So this beyond North Korea situation that they're just throwing in our face arrogantly, I've had district attorneys on. They've said that there's already laws in Texas. There's already laws in California that a cop can't do it, a state police, a fed. And so you've continued to ask these. I mean, why not just have the state put out a resolution calling for district attorneys and state police to go do stakeouts? We know crimes are being committed, and start clapping these feds in irons.
Well, it's a little more complicated in the sense that when you buy your ticket and the fine print, you know, the 6 or 4 point
fine, it's a contractual thing. So kind of like you can go to Nevada and sign a contract to visit a prostitute. Things that would a lot of times be illegal or legal under contract.
Well, and basically people, you know, that we're not leaving them any alternative. Either you get ogled or groped if you don't go through the metal detector. And, you know, to me, if you don't want to go through the scanner, they ought to send you back to the metal detector. I mean, we're only talking about 3% of the people, and that's way too many to grope or to view virtually strip search.
Well, Representative, we're almost out of time, but I've flown a lot, and they're lying when they say 3%. When they've got them on and going, it's mainly women and children. I've seen it over and over again, and they do the, and this is now admitted in many cases, the scan and the grope. So they're putting out this hoax that, well, do the scanner and we won't grope you. In fact, they've admitted, the TSA and the Chicago Tribune, wants everyone in the future to be scanned. But my point is, take topless bars in Texas. We've had big issues. reportedly in the VIP area with women touching on the men and vice versa. Just because contractually you go in there looking for that doesn't mean it's legal. So they can say contractually we're allowed to grope you, but I mean a contract doesn't allow crimes to be committed.
Yeah, and the bottom line is we're allowed them to do it, and we just need to say, you know, we're not going to fly if you're going to have to touch me in my private parts without probable cause. There's a great quote by C.S. Lewis in 1948. He said, "Of all tyranny, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive." And I think he's right on. In the name of fighting terrorism, our government is doing what the terrorists could never do, and they're removing the dignity and freedom of innocent travelers every day at the tune of at least 60,000 people out of 2 million. It's just, it's unreasonable. We need to stop it. We need to stop submitting to it and look for other ways to secure our travel.
Absolutely. Well, Representative David Simpson with District 7, thank you so much for spending time with us. In the 30 seconds we've got left, what else can we do to ensure that Texas, the Lone Star State, stands up to this tyranny? How do we get that bill passed? Just absolutely call the senators and call Perry.
That's right. And I would also call the Speaker of the House. I would call all your representatives. And then I'd also call your U.S. representative and senator and ask them to support this on the federal level.
Well, that's the good news. They just cut $270 million out of TSA, and they're moving to try to remove the scanners at the congressional level. Representative David Simpson, thank you so much for spending time with us. You need to run for governor. We'll be right back.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
You can stand me up at the gates of hell.
You can stand me up at the gates of hell.
What we have is a giant global corporate empire that runs Europe, runs the United States, runs our republic, and they're using our money, our name, our power to expand their system. Here's an example. The National Post today says leaked U.S. cables lay out North American integration strategy. And we learned this through WikiLeaks. Oh, my goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, my film, Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, 2007, has these very documents in it. Judicial Watch sued and got them in 2007. And it says, thousands of pages, we must keep the public in the dark about this. We're going to pass the carbon taxes to fund our private corporate takeover. They had Fortune 100, we have the minutes of it, there with the leaders of the bureaucracies from the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, telling them what to do, and our elected representatives bowing to them. And they talk about North America integration by stealth. Then Bush came out, and this is also an endgame, on C-SPAN with Merkel and Barroso of Europe, the head of the EU at the time, Barroso, the head of Germany, Merkel, and said, we are now merging the American Union with the European Union. Remember in 2007, they had the 50th anniversary of the EU Treaty of Rome. Just like in 2005, the North American Union was established at Baylor. But you talk about this, the media calls you a conspiracy theorist. They ran Lou Dobbs out of CNN because he would cover this. Oh, WikiLeaks, National Post, big paper of Canada. The integration of North American economies would best be achieved through an incremental approach, according to leaked U.S. diplomatic cable. Oh! Watch Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement, available on DVD at Infowars.com. Read all the documents for free at whatistheendgame.com. Or watch the film free. It's on YouTube, it's on Google, it's everywhere. Or see it in the highest quality at prisonplanet.tv. So more on that later with Bob Chapman coming up. Now, for the next 15 minutes, Ryan Michalis, whose mother is on the video that's top-linked on Drudge last night and today on the left-hand side. It's now been moved down below. Assisted suicide advocate Jack Kevorkian dies. It's now under that report at Drudge Report. And we're double-linked over at drudgereport.com, the biggest news website in the world, because he knows what the folks want, the truth. down there. He also has a link to the new federal law they're trying to pass that if you embed a copyright YouTube clip, you will get 5 years in prison. And, of course, you don't know it's copyright. And, oh, by the way, Judicial Watch sued again. They got new documents where the George Soros-affiliated groups want to end freedom on the Internet. Well, the White House regulations are openly wrote memos saying arrest people that we disagree with, arrest 9/11 truthers, arrest people that question man-made global warming, arrest people that think sunlight is good for you. You can't make up how tyrannical these slithering, simpering slime bags are. What do they call it? Now they admit it's eco-fascism. They say we want fascism. They say the public's too dumb to accept our tyranny, so we'll just do it. What did the foreign editor at the Financial Times of London write in his article, and now for world government? He said, yes, we're secret. Yes, we're authoritarian. And yes, it's good. And you bet we're militarizing, and this world is ours, and we're coming for it. And you cattle are going to lay down and take it. Ha ha, they love it. Well, I got news for you. Some of us are still red-blooded. Now, this woman had a normal reaction to having people grab at her breast and other areas. Her son videotaped it, and so they arrested him, reportedly. We're going to talk to him right now, and threatened to take his bags. And we're going to play part of that clip here in a moment. But now we go to the son of the lady, Ryan Mikulas, joining us. Sir, tell us where you live, where you're located. What airport? We have it in our article, but break down where and how this happened. And obviously a short video clip with them in your face can't capture all of what happened. Break it down for us, Mr. Mikulas.
Well, I'm a resident here out in Phoenix, Arizona, and the event you saw in the video took place at Sky Harbor International Airport here in Phoenix. And basically, we went through the screening process, and my mom was, you know, suggested to go to the body scanner, and because my family knows the adverse effects of the body scanner and don't want to subject our naked images to other people, we always opt out. Usually it's my father or myself that gets, you know, flagged for this, but this is the first time my mother went through. And you saw the aftermath of the horrific event that took place, which has left her in the position to never want to travel again by airplane.
And, of course, Obama made the joke in the State of the Union that, don't worry, you can ride the trains and not be scanned or groped. Now they're moving out to the trains, high school proms, total federal power grab. Now we only see once she's begging for a police officer who comes over and basically helps the tyranny. Don't call for an officer in the modern America with a K, und Homeland. You know, things have changed here. We're an empire now, as Karl Rove said, an imperial, bloodthirsty empire that sucked up the republic. Going back, break down what happened to your mother before you got the cell phone camera on.
Well, she was ahead of me in line. She went through and they, opted out for the body scanner and said, I'd rather have, go through the pat down. They had actually gone through the majority of the pat down. They just had the front upper part of her body to, grope, basically. And she said at that time, before you do that, I want to file a complaint. I do not want you to touch me there. And the woman proceeded to do so. And I was able to get my phone out of my bag just in time to catch what happened just after that statement was made. She then, is very hysterical, crying for police officers to help. And I think that what was caught on film was it's breaking the illusion that the police are a higher superior than TSA. TSA obviously have more superiority than our own police officers, because TSA, they don't have to abide by the Fourth Amendment.
Yeah, this is an indoctrination zone, breaking our will, training us for the forced inoculations and the warrantless blood draws that are now unfolding nationwide. Now, so walk us through it, up to the point the camera's turned on. So they choose her for the microwave oven machine, which the TSA's now been caught faking the calibrations. Even New York Times admits 20 to 50 times the radiation. Top scientists say it's dangerous. But they just wave a magic wand and don't even do the federal law radiology test every month because they're government. And if you don't like the radiation, you're a conspiracy theorist for questioning. So they just like our U.S. government's raised safe levels of radiation because of Fukushima, they just raise the level in milk and food they say is safe. They wave the magic wand and say, be quiet, conspiracy theorist. Just like 8 months ago, they called us a conspiracy theorist in the media for saying they were patting the outside of the pants and going inside the pants. Later had to admit that when it was caught on video nationwide. But still, we're a conspiracy theorist, though, even though we were right again. But going back here, describe exactly what happened, how this unfolded.
Well, what you didn't see in the video, because my phone shut off between the time when they told me to leave the area and the time when I clicked back on when I leave the area, I had several TSA agents actually approach me, my father, and my mother, and they repeatedly attempted to say that we were, you know, staging this event, that we're hired actors, basically trying to just dehumanize us and take away from the actual atrocity that was taking place with my mother, you know. The whole time, I really wish I had that on camera, but unfortunately, I just have it seared in my memory.
Well, that's standard. So, they do dehumanize you. They say everybody loves having hands stuck down their pants. Miss America shouldn't mind that they went in her panties and into her body. Jesse Ventura shouldn't mind, and I've witnessed them grabbing his genitals and seeing what they are. It's confirmed they put pressure to ascertain. You should like a man walking up and grabbing your genitals and squeezing. You should like them running their hand into the crevice of your anus, as Jesse Ventura's lawsuit states. Ron Paul, the congressman, should like his genitals being grabbed. The state rep we had on when they groped his little daughters and the big freak out at the Texas airport, he should love it. See, you're an actor. You're not a real person, Mr. Michaelis. You don't have rights. You should love it. You're fake. You're a conspiracy theorist. You don't exist. It's not real. So they came up and they got around you with their little brainwashing. Please continue.
Well, at that point, basically, I repeatedly said, you know, that this is not the case, and they asked me, you know, who do I work for, and I'm not going to tell them that I'm self-employed and, you know, what my business name is. That's none of their concern. What they proceeded to do was they tried to tell me that my luggage was left too far away and that they were going to get a Leo, a law enforcement officer, to come over and take my baggage forcefully from me while I was waiting for my mother to go through the process. Which
that's right, animal. You don't wait for your mother while she's crying. How dare you try to stay with your mother? Are you Al-Qaeda?
Nowadays, up is down, left is right, you know? So.
All right, so the pot bellies are running around doing their thing. Your mother starts to cry. Continue.
As she's going through, as she's crying, my father comes over and tries to, console her and, ask what needs to be done so we can go ahead and finish and ask them to, you know, not perform that type of invasive procedure any further since they had already, you know, groped her, made her cry. At that point, they continued to insist to further breach her privacy by continuing to want to further search her upper body. And she basically said, no, I don't want this. I want a police officer now because I want somebody here to protect me. The police officer is supposed to protect us.
And people joke and say a middle-aged woman should enjoy having their breast grabbed, and we've all seen the videos where they squeeze them to ascertain what they are. Now, this is the double think. When government does it, it's good, but if a man came up to your mother and grabbed her breast in a park, there'd be police helicopters, attempted rape on the news, the guy would get 10 years in prison. But when they do it, it's like, hey, lady, you ought to enjoy it. I've seen some of that in the news.
Absolutely. It's really frightening to see where this country's mindset is going, because to say that this is acceptable is just complete, you know, intellectual bankruptcy on the individual's part that says those sort of things, because this is just too invasive. You don't have the right to grope somebody the way you do, you know, without probable cause, without a warrant.
What about sexual assault victims? This is very traumatic for them.
Absolutely, and that's kind of what I've been trying to make the point to a lot of people, is that, you know, what happens to these women that have been sexually assaulted, and, you know, they don't say anything. They grind their teeth but are subjected to the horrific memories of what had happened in the past and reliving them as they're going through the process. It's just unbelievable that they would allow this sort of thing to happen.
What about my children? I'll be listening to me on the radio sometimes when my wife lets them, when the subjects aren't too hardcore, or when I'm driving in the car, I'll have news radio on. And they'll hear about the lawsuits and people trying to pass laws and the congressman getting angry and all of this going on and the whole world marveling and over $20 billion a year of Europeans and others won't come here because they're like, this is not normal to have you grab my genitals. And they're like, why? Everyone does it. It's totally normal. All this insanity is going on. And my children say, my 8-year-old, my 6-year-old, well, now 7, and my 3-year-old, They'll say, Daddy, you said stranger danger. Don't let them touch me. So what they're training you to do is basically let the government people molest you. And I have to say, no, children, governments go bad in history more often than not, just like in Nazi Germany or Soviet Russia that I've taught you about. And we've got a very bad government right now that's openly trying to overthrow the Fourth Amendment, Second Amendment, and we go over those issues and go over history with them. And they understand. They understand that not everyone in a uniform is bad, but that the bad men have taken over the federal government and that the foreign banks have captured the U.S. through the private corporate imperium. And they now understand that. And we say, that's why you can't fly on airplanes. We can't let those bad men do that to you. And that's just what it's come down to in America. So continuing, how did this progress?
Well, after the event that you see where my father and I leave the security area to go find my mother, she was crying hysterically and went down to the main Southwest airline desk and filed formal complaints with them and the TSA. We were originally getting ready to go to Lake Tahoe, and my father and I decided that, you know, we'd go ahead and continue on our way. My mother was in no way, shape, or form going to continue to fly. So when my father and I went back to the process, basically every TSA agent in the entire area knew who we were, obviously, for what had just happened. And they just eyeballed us the whole time, forced my father and myself to be subjected to a full pat-down. And, you know, when we go through that process, we handle ourselves in such a way where the verbal retaliation that we give them to the physical assault that they give us is definitely justified for some of the things we say to them to point out to him.
What do you tell them? You know, this is sexual assault. You're going to pay for your crimes one day. You're a sick pervert. Why'd you take this job? You must enjoy it.
Well, one thing that we've seen is that the majority of these guys, they don't really like to do what they do, because when we do confront them and say, you got this job because you like to fondle other males, you know, and we say those statements because we want them to understand that what they're doing is wrong and that what we feel is a complete violation of our individual rights, and any way we can to speak out against such a
atrocity. Some of them don't like it, but you're psychologically missing the key. They don't like it when you stand up to them. It loses the fun. That's why when a woman starts shaking and crying, they really get excited. I've seen the psychology when cops break pro-lifers' arms, a part of torture compliance. Federal courts have ruled for 25 years they can do it. I have video of it in my film, Martial Law 911, Rise of the Police State, that after they break the arm and they see the bone stick out, a wolf instinct, a predator instinct, and they swarm in with billy clubs as the priest or whoever lays there, and they just start the blood orgy. So it's more of a Nazi blood cement type thing. So the fact that you stand up to them, that takes the enjoyment away. Sorry, go ahead, G. See, that's why the predators really like kids, because they can panic them and the kids cry and they psychically feed on it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you're right. And you did see that several TSA agents do get such enjoyment, or they have this power trip mentality, and you can clearly see that, especially in the women that approached me to tell me to turn my camera phone off. They definitely had some control issues. And I think that's what happens here, is when they go through these TSA screenings to get a job with them, when they do the psych evaluation, I think that they intentionally pick out people that are kind of have control freak issues.
Well, you're right. We've gotten government documents confirming that the main reason they test nerve gas on troops in England and the U.S. and kill them, or biologicals on troops, or radiation on troops, or over 4,000 U.S. school children grabbed from their parents, foster kids, and others radiated to death, all declassified. Or why do they order the U.N. to give, in every major country they operate in, live polio shots to the kids? They're building cadres, armies of people that enjoy it. And that's what the TSA is. That's why they've admitted it's going to roll out nationwide, is this is an army of people that, whether they do it because they're perverts or control freaks or just idiots, they will do whatever they're told. This is the brown shirt army that the federal government has been pushing for.
Absolutely. I agree full-heartedly with that. And it's sad that most Americans don't recognize that, or if they do recognize it, are unwilling to step up to the plate and stand on their own two feet and say, hey, you know what, this is wrong, and I'm not going to take it anymore. This needs to stop.
Well, Ryan, you're awesome. Stay there one more segment with us if you can. I want to come back in the next little five-minute segment. I'm just going to shut up. I've made my point. I want you to, from front to end, run through what happened, any other areas that you haven't gotten into. and where this is going in the future. Are you going to sue these scallywags? Are you going to push for Arizona to move against these groping criminals? We'll be right back. Dr. Steve Pachinik's coming up in about 20 minutes to join us. Got a ton of other really important news. I get very angry about this because I've studied it. I remember Governor Ridge almost 9 years ago on C-SPAN admitting they would roll out to the streets, the highways, the bus terminals, the total takeover. Now the TSA is making unions get authorization to even have jobs. Now they're making the 9/11 victims, the police and firemen, go through a terror check to finally get health care. You don't believe me, just it's in New York Post, AP. This is a total takeover of society. I mean, we're not just saying army of brown shirts because it's a nice verbal flourish. This is admitted. And what's scary is as good people leave the TSA, more and more it's nothing but the crazies. Now, you've got the floor, Ryan Michalis, who shot the video of your mother breaking down after the groping. Run from the start to the end in about 4 minutes through what happened uninterrupted.
Okay. Well, when we went through the process of the screening process to get on an airplane in Sky Harbor International Airport, we were put in the line, and my mom was chosen by one of the TSA people to go through the body scanner. She said, no, I do not want to go through that. They said, okay, well, we're going to go ahead and take you and do a pat-down, you know, in the screening area, where they go and put you out in front of everybody for, you know, saying no to them and trying to make an example of you so that way others won't say no. But what they did was they ended up going through the screening process, patting her down, her legs, her rear, her buttocks, her arms, across the shoulders and whatnot. And the last seconds before they were going, when they told her they're going to grope her breast, she said, I would like to file a personal complaint before you go ahead any further with this. And when they said no, they basically ignored her. They didn't say no, excuse me. They just ignored her request. They went ahead and proceeded further into groping her. At that point is when I was able to get my camera phone out of my luggage, which had gone through the little x-ray machine. I pulled it out, hit record as fast as I could, and you see the event that took place there. What happened afterwards was she was still crying, pleading for police officers to come assist her and to stop the molestation that was taking place. My father was allowed to stay over there because he wasn't recording. They just had a big problem with me recording the event. And they repeatedly told me over and over again that you cannot record here, which is a lie. And I caught them in that repeatedly saying that. Gentleman from Southwest Airlines came over and said that you're not allowed to film here. He had actually said that he would like to have me arrested. The TSA woman, when I was 10 feet away from my bag, said that she's going to get a LEO, a law enforcement officer, to have my luggage confiscated because I was not attending the luggage and it was unattended luggage. From there, I was subjected to further searches as we went through the process again once my mother left and refused to continue on the fly. She went down, filed complaints with TSA and Southwest Airlines. My father and I then went ahead to get on our airplane to go to our destination. And from there, what we did was we went through the process. They saw who we were and immediately said, go to the body scanner. We immediately said, no, we are not. And they then subjected us to pat-down. We got on an airplane and went to Lake Tahoe. One comment I'd like to make is that in Lake Tahoe, the airport for Reno Lake Tahoe, they don't have body scanners. They don't have invasive screening processes. They have canines, bomb-sniffing dogs in the airport, which have been proven to be far more effective in preventing any quote-unquote terrorism. Because they're used, you know, in the military in Afghanistan and Iraq. Which,
yeah, this isn't about being effective. It's about training you that some slob is going to grab your mother's genitals.
Right, right. And I just wanted to make the point that the, you know, Michael Chertoff makes millions of dollars having these rapid scan machines there. It's really a big scam. And it's a scam.
Ryan, can you stay 5 more minutes? We're 1 minute break. I want you to be able to finish up. Okay, we'll be right back. Second hour straight ahead. Time flies when you're fighting tyranny. But you're not allowed to have an opinion. That's called a conspiracy theory.
Big Brother. Mainstream media.
government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, if you just joined us, Ryan Mikulas was flying with his father and his mother to Lake Tahoe. They had grabbed her behind in other areas. They were told her now they were going to grab her breasts, and they squeeze them to make sure they're real. They grab your genitals. Folks, I can't handle it. And I've already told people, I went through this once. I said, I'll go ahead and try. They sure enough tried to grope my six-year-old daughter, and I absolutely got angry. And I can't deal with it, okay? I'm not a conditioned slave. And it's time that this stops. It has nothing to do with keeping us safe. It's all about a power grab. Bob Barr and other people agree with me. Ron Paul agrees. Jesse Ventura. This is what it's about. And I told you years ago they were going to roll out in the streets. Now they're doing it. I mean, they want federal judge orders. They need to be at high school proms. See, as long as you have a TSA person there, then all the private security and police, the federal wand is waved, and they say, now you're allowed to do what you were never allowed to do before. And you go, what's the law? And they say, shut up. We can do what we want. Well, guess what? Congress has just moved to slash the budget of the TSA. The Texas grope ban is moving towards getting back in the special session. Other states are moving to call the feds bluff. We're on the march. The empire is on the run. Now, going back to Ryan Mikulas, whose mother was groped, and by the time he got the camera on, she was breaking down and crying, and she did not fly. They went ahead and went through the sexual assault to get to their destination. The father and son did. And again, this is just the beginning with the airports. Finishing up, you wanted to say something to Chertoff, who's the consultant for the main company making the money off this.
Right. I just wanted to point out that, you know, like everything, you follow the money, you find out what the real agenda is. And when you follow the money for the body scanners, it goes back to Michael Chertoff, who was ex-Homeland Security head prior to Miss Janet Napolitano, our lovely ex-governor. You know, it's interesting that as soon as he's out, it's because he got his bid for the body scanner to be put in all the major airports. It's not to protect us. It's all an illusion. It's just to keep us subjected.
And they've already made billions off these. They're now announcing they want them at malls and on mobile trucks. They purchased them. They have these Homeland Security's announced they're going to buy the big mobile trucks where they march you through these at rock concerts. Can you imagine the amount of money they're going to make as society is totally converted to a prison?
I'll be quite frank. It's disgusting, Alex. And if people don't start recognizing, you know, who's making money off these deals, what the true intent is behind these invasive measures, it's upsetting because I'm afraid that, you know, one day I'm going to wake up and, you know, it's the illusion of freedom is going to be completely gone, and we will be subjected to, you know, hot tyranny, if you want to call it that.
That's it, hot tyranny. Ryan, listening to you, have you ever heard my show before?
Alex, actually, you were instrumental in waking me up. So, back in 2005, I'll say that. I was handed one of your DVDs from a girl in my English 102 class, and she says to me, hey, my boyfriend thinks he might like this based on what we had discussed in the class. I watched it, and ever since then, I've been falling down the rabbit hole.
And now look at the chain reaction that your resistance is causing. You are the resistance, Ryan, and so is every other person out there listening. We have chosen to be history's actors. We've chosen to actually matter for the side of good. We've decided to not just buy the corporate Borg statement that anyone who doesn't agree with them is a conspiracy theorist. We've decided to have our own opinions and our own views and to be free men. And I am so honored to have had a chance to talk to you. Great job, the producers, getting you on so quickly. Look at the Drudge Report. By the way, Watson's doing an article. It was the number one search today on the web was what happened to your mother. Number one worldwide is this story. And also the InfoWars version is number four. So great job standing up against tyranny. And together we're going to win this thing because resistance is victory. Mr. Mikulas, God bless you. Go with God.
Texas Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
BBC here, and they want me to talk about 9/11. And, you know, I don't think the BBC will cover this. I mean, I I'll cover real issues with 9/11. The BBC, on two different channels, 24 and World, reported that Building 7, the 47-story skyscraper, the biggest building in over 30 states, in most cities it'd be the biggest building, the CIA, FBI based in it, the Homeland Security, previous to that, federal security building, the state security building, all based inside of there. And it falls into its own footprint, and we have the police on video on CNN saying, get back, they're going to blow it up, they're going to bring it down. I've interviewed the cops that were there. They said, yeah, there was a 10-second countdown. All of this happened. And BBC reported 25 minutes before it fell that it had fallen into its own footprint, a building that had some fires in it. And I've interviewed Barry Jennings before he mysteriously died a few weeks later, who was the deputy head of emergency management in New York, saying that bombs went off in the building. And then, of course, he had to die soon after. Deputy head of emergency management. It's just incredible. I mean, does the BBC want to talk about Bush, according to Newsweek and MSNBC, signing a launch order to attack Afghanistan the day before 9/11, and that 18,000 British troops and 44,000 U.S. troops had massed in the stands around Afghanistan, and carrier attack fleets were already in position ahead of the staged event, or NORAD standing down, something that never before happened, and then the feds lying and saying we did no intercepts the year before except Payne Stewart, and turned out it was over 150. Or perhaps we should talk about Stephen Butler, the head of the Defense Language School, who went public and said these hijackers were trained at U.S. bases, including our base. Or mainstream news reporting that Muhammad Atta and others were trained at other U.S. bases. Or Mr. Springman, former head of the U.S. Embassy, Visa Department. His associates told him they were ordered to let Muhammad Atta and others back into the U.S. in the year before 9/11 from their Al-Qaeda summit because they were really U.S. government agents. I'm just supposed to ignore all that. And but it gets better. You see, if I have a view, if I have an idea, if I don't believe what I'm told, if I have critical thinking that doesn't absolutely agree with whatever I'm told, if the government tells you the earth is flat and you don't agree with it, you're a conspiracy theorist. 500 years ago, you were a heretic and were burned at the stake or put on house arrest like Galileo. But today, conspiracy theory is the heresy. But see, they've used that so much it doesn't work anymore on every front. Even when the mainstream media, in my opinion, is telling the truth about something, the dinosaur dying media, people don't believe it in major polls. The BBC, ABC News, they could tell the general public the sky is blue and it's true, but they wouldn't believe it because they've been caught in so many reckless manipulations of the facts. And so I proudly take the heretic's letter, scarlet letter, onto myself, that I am someone that questions what I'm told. You see, I remember the night of 9/11. I've been on air off and on all day, and they said, oh, we found one of the hijackers' passports in the wreckage of the collapsed towers. Now, remember, there's several feet of asbestos and concrete dust, millions of papers conservatively blowing around, body parts aren't bigger than an inch long, and magically, right there in front of everyone is one of the hijackers' passports, proving they did it. And one of the other hijackers' bags got stuck in the conveyor belt and didn't make it with all the admissions, and a car with all the admissions of how they did it, just right there, open and shut. Now, this plane at 500-plus miles an hour flies into the building, and off their person, the passport goes through the fireball, through the building. The plane is vaporized out. But wait, it gets better. It's like Gollum's ring. It calls to you. And as I've said earlier, it's made out of Thor's hammer, stuff that's indestructible, like the center of a sun. It falls to the ground and is found that day and produced the next day to the world by the FBI. They found it in all the millions of papers and the dust and the dead and the fires and the smoldering slag. Over 1,000 degrees hotter than kerosene can burn, but never mind the fact that months later there was molten slag down on the bottom. All of that happened. And then wait, it gets better. They found another passport, two, almost completely undamaged. And they found another one at Flight 93. The whole plane disappears into the ground. Just disappears, engine miles away. But the plane disappears into a hole in the ground. But the passport didn't. Oh, no, they had that one, too, because it's made of a substance, like a quark's gluon particle that is impregnable. They ought to build Abrams tanks out of this. I mean, they could have our special forces wear what that passport was made out of and then just tank rounds would bounce off of them like Superman. I mean, reportedly, if you eat one of these passports, you become Superman. I mean, it's from another planet. It's from Krypton. Okay, I mean, again, but if you don't believe that those passports came magically out to the ground, were found, and presented to the public, I mean, it's incredible that they were found, much less they survived, you're a conspiracy theorist. You're going to buy whatever you're told. Now, I want to go to, we're going to a bunch of subjects today. We're not going to spend too long on 9/11, but he had the courage over 9 years ago, Council on Foreign Relations fellow, board examining top psychiatrist, run major institutions around the country, wrote the psychological warfare manual for the State Department, London Telegraph reports. Yeah, he's been involved in manipulating the communists into getting rid of Prime Minister of Italy. He's overthrown governments. He's done it all. And he came on this broadcast. He came on the broadcast and he broke down the fact 9 years ago that 9/11 was a staged false flag event. And he went further. He said Bin Laden's dead on ice. They're going to roll him out in the future when it's politically expedient. And then 2 years later in the election, or a year and a half later, Madeleine Albright, former Secretary of State, came out and said the same thing on Fox and CNN. Then Walter Cronkite, big insider, came out and said the same thing. Then Teresa Hines Carey came out and said, that's some credibility right there. I guess they're conspiracy theorists. They said, Bush, don't roll him out. We know you've got him. So they held him back. And then when the military-industrial complex needed it later, their war leader, puppet Obama, rolls it out at an expedient time. And Dr. Steve Pachinik also is the co-author of many of the books with Tom Clancy. He's the character Jack Ryan is based on in the Net Force and Ops Center. I'm not going to go over the whole thing. But Dr. Pachinik trained in psychiatry at Harvard and both MD from Cornell University Medical College and PhD at the same time. Well, the only folks ever do that. International Relations, MIT. He was the first psychiatrist ever to receive a PhD focusing on international relations. He served as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State and Senior Policy Planner and Secretaries of State Kissinger, Vance, Schultz, and Baker. During his career as a senior State Department official, Pachinik utilized his unique abilities and expertise. He wrote the manual on hostage negotiations that's widely used worldwide. He knows most of the former world leaders, including Assad Sr. He's been held in different parts of the world repeatedly, including Syria and Panama. And, well, we could just go on from there. But Dr. Pachinik now joins us. He also admittedly helped engineer the Camp David Accords. He was the main psych warfare expert on that, assessing the men and how to get that accord that no one else has ever been able to do through. He joins us now. And we're going to skip this break. Dr. Pachinik, well, we better not. We already skipped one. Dr. Pachinik, I hate to build you up, but people need to build you up so they know who you are. I didn't know this was going to happen. I forgot it was happening. BBC happens to be here today wanting to know about 9/11. What can you briefly tell them about 9/11 and the term conspiracy theorist?
Well, thank you for inviting me on the show again. I'm always happy to come back and talk to you and your audience. 9/11 is a classical, and the British know this better than anyone. It's very naive for the BBC to, or disingenuous for the BBC to ask, what do we know about 9/11? Nobody's perfected false flag and stand down operations better than the British over 200 years of ruling many countries. It's a standard procedure. This is not something, and I don't mean to be blasé, I mean, this is something I taught at the war colleges. The British teach this at Stanhurst. They have it at MI6, MI5. Every intelligence unit around the world knows that if you want to go to war, whether it's Germany or with Stalin or it was under LBJ, where we created an illusion that the Vietnamese try to at us during the Gulf of Tonkin, then we went to war in Vietnam. Many men die. Our whole country is paralyzed. We pay for it. 9/11 was an attempt by the Bush administration. The neocons, Wolfowitz, Elliot Abrams, Richard Pearl, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Condoleezza Rice, Steve Hale. The list goes on and on and on. They wrote their premise very clearly in 1991, and they paper on America and the future positions where we're to go, and basically they created a situation where we had to go to war in a war that was very ambiguously termed. That is, we're going after terrorists. What terrorists? And it turned out we had two characters that they created. One was Saddam Hussein, who was not even involved in the entire thing, and then somebody else called Osama bin Laden, who had worked with us in 89-90, and a bunch of al-Qaeda operatives who were trained by us in Brooklyn and elsewhere under the Carter administration, then under Reagan, and then under Bush Sr. And the whole narrative just became out of control. But unfortunately, men and women die in America, and America pays a very heavy price. So we can't continue this type of nonsensical, vitriolic narratives that are continuing till today, where we're in the war in Afghanistan. I have no idea whatsoever what the war in Afghanistan has to do. There are no more al-Qaeda members. We're shooting so-called, the CIA said that we've killed 2,000 al-Qaeda members. If you price it out, you've got about $50 million for each of the 2,000 terrorists who supposedly were killed. In Iraq, we tried to establish a civil society using our military, which failed. So literally, since World War II, our intelligence and military-industrial complex has brought us to complete defeat, along with our ally England. England and BBC, as disingenuous as they are, knows very well that they ride right behind us in the intelligence system. They are deeply penetrating us. They know that we provide them with intelligence, even to the extent that it's so incestuous that Bush Jr. stupidly said that he's related to the Windsor family, which, of course, the Windsor family has nothing to do with being British. They're German descent, and Windsor's just the name of the place where the paintings are held. So we have an unholy alliance with England. And at this point, the issue is, what is good for America? And that's really what we have to ask.
What do you make of England now, Obama announcing, letting them into the National Security Council, something that Congress isn't even given with the National Intelligence Committee?
England has had a very, very incestuous relationship with us. Now, let's go back to our history. I want the American public, particularly on your show, to understand the only country we have gone to war with repeatedly has been England. 1776, the British called every one of our founding fathers terrorists. So remember, the American Revolution was not called the American Evolution. It was called the American Revolution. We fought a very nasty battle with the British, and the British were exceedingly nasty during the 8 years that Washington had to retreat repeatedly. If it weren't for the French under Napoleon, we would not have succeeded in winning the Revolutionary War. Not stopping at that, the British came back in 1812 and came back again to attack the colonies because Britain felt that, in fact, under their mandates and their attitude of colonialism, America was still part of the British Empire. Having failed at that, the British then brought us in to World War One because, basically, with all false flag opposite situations where they created, they brought us into World War One. The British have been exceedingly egregious in their relationship with the United States. The Queen, I mean, this whole nonsense of the wedding and the tour of the prince and the princess and the Queen. I mean, this is a narrative that's just not going to work in America. We're not part of the royalty. We do not bow down to God or man. We do not believe in royalty. And the crown is really a business. And the BBC is part of that business. So you have to think of Royalty Incorporated. It's a multi-billion dollar business. They have BP. They have all kinds of issues that are related to Britain. But Britain is not relevant to us anymore. Europe is not relevant to us. We can no longer do the bidding of the British intelligence, which has failed repeatedly, but rides on the back of American intelligence. Let me repeat it again. During the stand down and the false flag, Britain was right there behind us because Bush Jr. absolutely adores the British. He's an Anglophile. I'm not, as you can see. I think Britain has been a very deleterious country in the world affairs. They've created a lot of problems. The issues in the Middle East.
And the corrupt British ruling class is trying to give us their psychological, sycophantic hatred of France when France helped create this country. But the average American hates France just because we've been turned into this Anglophile, servile group.
Well, that's not incorrect, Alex. As usual, you're right on the button. I wouldn't say it is that strongly, but I would say France helped us. There's another part that I haven't talked about. During the Civil War, the British helped the South, so they did not want a United States of America. The French came in and helped us again in uniting England. It was the British who supplied the Confederate States with the ammunition and ran a lot of the embargoes. So Britain, now, here's where it becomes very nefarious. I didn't intend this to go into Britain, but when the CIA was created, the Central Intelligence Agency, and America has to remember, we did not have an organized intelligence organization. Roosevelt was smart enough and Truman to create the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services, and we had to learn from a man called Kim Philby exactly how to build an intelligence service. Well, as usual, Britain had, wittingly or unwittingly, I'm not going to say anything more, they had five famous traitors from Cambridge University. Four of them were blown out. Many of them were homosexual. It's not an indictment of homosexuals. And the fifth one was Kim Philby. In 1952-3, two Israeli Mossad agents came in. One was Teddy Koppel, the other one was Moshe Dayan. And at a meeting with James Jesus Angleton, who was head of counterintelligence for the CIA, they looked at Kim Philby and said, "What in God's name is this British operative doing here? This is a communist. He's not just KGB, he's GRU. Now, GRU in Russian Soviet intelligence is far more serious than KGB. This is military intelligence for the Soviet Union. Well, lo and behold, the gentleman named James Jesus Angleton, who was head of counterintelligence, blew him out. We were totally penetrated, thanks to the British. And 3 years on later, there was always believed to be moles. And lo and behold, James Jesus Angleton was correct. A reporter for CBS, David Martin, wrote about James Jesus Angleton. He's not well known in this country, but if you look at the movie, The Good Shepherd, you'll get an idea by Robert De Niro. You'll get a good idea of what the history of the CIA was relative to Britain. Britain is not a great ally. Britain has really been a sycophant to the United States, and it's time for the United States to decide what it wants for itself, not what it wants for France, not what it wants for England, not what it wants for Israel. Now the United States is letting go of Israel. Israel had to go on its own. The Palestinian state will be declared by the UN. The United States has to go away out of Iraq, Afghanistan, and we have to concentrate on whom we want to be the leader of this country. Not who England wants, not who France wants, not who Russia wants, whom the American people want. Now we have a narrative of a man named Mr. Romney who claims that he has been a businessman and he has been, you know, he's going to be the next leader and can do all kinds of wonderful things for the Republican Party. Now, what I'm getting at is both the Democrat and the Republican Party have been very much controlled by a system which does not allow us to have more choices than two people. My daughter, who a very bright young lady, said to me one day, "Dad, you know, I can go into the Safeway, I can go into a grocery store and get 102 flavors of coffee. But when I go into the Democracy in the United States, I get two flavors of politicians. That's not democracy. That's called a republic." So basically, I mean, we're going from England to 9/11 to what we call the scripted pro forma, pro process here in the United States, which is a republic. And this is where the American public under Alex Jones has to understand we can no longer accept this nonsense of two candidates. One, Obama, with a history that no one understood, came out of a CIA family. And now you have Romney, a Mormon. I have nothing against Mormons. They've been wonderful people who lived for many years in Salt Lake City and had a questionable history as a businessman because Bain Associates was not a great builder of companies. It was a great financer of companies and goes out and tells these narrative stories that are absurd.
All right, I want to stop right there. I want to stop right there, Dr. Pachinik, because I want to go back. We're going to come back and get into all the other subjects that we've got here. The Middle East, change of administration, nature of politicians with the whole Wiener's affair, Dempsey. Yeah. We're going to talk about those issues. But I want to go back because the BBC's here and because you know, their show's about...
In the room there? They're there with you?
Yes, they're here.
Good, fine. Ask them whether they belong to MI6 or MI5. Why don't you ask each one of them?
Listen, I asked the director guy. I said, you know, you're government financed and run, and he even denies that to me. That's kind of like when the head of Media Matters, the editor, called me up. And I said, you're funded by George Soros. And he said, no, we're not. And then I went and pulled up the SEC filings online and read them to him, and he laughed at me. But let's stop there. We're about to go to break. When we come back, last time you were on, you broke down how you can see it's intelligence operations because with the birthers, with the deathers, with the truthers, they always have a made-ready term, like conspiracy theorist, to try to paint people with a brush and then neutralize them. So let's talk about being conspiracy theorist when we come back. Then we'll get into a host of other issues with Steve Pachinik, stevepachinik.com, Pachinik, P-I-E-C-Z-E-N-I-K. We'll be right back. I'm Alex Jones, Infowars.com.
I remember when I lost my mind.
Yeah, I've been in here calling the Queen of England a whore to the BBC. I doubt they'll play that on television. Everybody's got to learn how to sip their tea, and old ladies in the U.S. have to hang up, you know, paintings of her and all the constant Britannic brainwashing that we go through here. Hey, the BBC wanted to come after all their hit pieces against us, so come on in. This will actually work out for you guys. What I recommend you do with your psychological warfare operation is the Brits are great people. They have that parasitic system sitting on top of them. Great folks, Paul Watson, Steve Watson, wonderful guys over there, you know, fighting the New World Order, working for our great team running PrisonPlanet.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Paul Watson, guest host here. They fully understand what's going on. But what I recommend to the BBC, they probably already thought of it, is by showing us attacking England, you can bind the lie of 9/11 and false flag and your own Stage 7-7 event. You can bind that lie to people bashing England, and then only 80% of the viewers won't believe you instead of 95. So we've actually fallen into your trap today. What do you say to that, Dr. Pachinik?
Well, I don't think anybody really cares about England. I mean, the British BBC understands that you can ask them, you know. They have exceedingly good journals, for example, like the Financial Times and the Economist. If you ask them who they really are in Janeway, you'll look at, you know, individual men who are sitting there working for MI6 or MI5. What they're there to do, basically, in sitting down and listening to you and me, they didn't know what I'm going to say, and they had no idea. Personally and professionally, over five administrations, I rarely let the British in anywhere near me or anywhere near my intelligence operatives because I knew they were basically trying to access our intelligence, and I knew the history of British intelligence. On the one hand, they have, you know, they had their own national security requirements, but they knew that the empire was fading. So basically, they passed off the mantle to the United States. They had no choice. We had a very brilliant president in Roosevelt who understood Churchill's need to basically bring in the United States into World War II, where we were really isolationist. So the British sent over a very brilliant intelligence operative by the name of Stevenson, which was called the Double X, and their intelligence units were in Cambridge University in England, and they were very bright on encryption code, and they created, and they were able, because of a Polish refugee, to break down the codes of the German Enigma. They passed them on to us and then developed their own intelligence system with a spy that they infiltrated. But the reality is England is not relevant. The They know right. that. We know that.
Exactly.
Doc, what you're about to say.
We got a lot to cover, and in the interest of time, it's just interesting because the BBC, it was the Dutch last week and others before that. But expanding on this, let's talk about the term conspiracy theorist. Anytime you ask a question, anytime you don't believe a government or a corporate globalist media that's been caught lying over and over and over and over again, anytime that happens, we are called conspiracy theorists. So I would say that Galileo, instead of being called a heretic, they should have called him a conspiracy theorist.
I think you're right, Alex. I mean, it's semiotics. It's a very fancy way of marginalizing people like yourself, me, the public, because the truth is always sui generis or unto itself coming from the government. In other words, whatever the government says is supposedly the truth, and therefore the media is their extension. And that collusion, that is the relationship between the media and the government, is supposedly an embodiment of the truth. Now, unfortunately, in America, because we're individualists and we fought the British, we fought other colonials, many of us were refugees from that type of imperialism, psychological imperialism, where they tried to define the fact that they were supreme, that the king and queen were supreme. We didn't buy that nonsense.
So the appeal to authority. America, the appeal to authority.
That's correct. I mean, it's not only appeal, it's submission to authority. What you said was very correct, Alex. When you bow down and kiss the ring. Now, there's not one American that I know. I certainly would never bow down, nor would I kiss the ring, nor would I accept the royalty. The point is, you've got to look at it as a very cynical enterprise where the BBC is part of it. It's called Royal England Incorporated. It's like any other business. The Queen is shoved around to go to Ireland. They forget that they, in fact, created one of the first genocides in Ireland in the 1600s, where millions of Irish farmers, men and women, innocently were killed because the British would not supply them with food. And what happened in Parliament in England, they said, let nature take its course. That's in the history books. There's no conspiracy here, but the British don't tell you about
that. Was that Malthusian eugenics? They saw the Irish as animals. The British invented concentration camps in South Africa in the Boer War.
Correct.
For the Dutch.
Well, let's get into that. Let's get into that. In the Boer War, Churchill, who was this grandiose narcissistic individual, had nothing else, wanted to get into the war, was the journalist, and saw in the 1890s when the Boers, with the Afrikaners, which were really Dutch reformers who'd been in South Africa for 300 years, they first went down to Cape Town, and they discovered gold and diamonds there. The British came in, took it over under Cecil Rhodes. Then the Boers backed up into the KwaZulu land, where the British came in and tried to beat them again and made themselves a hero. They called it the Boer War, when in fact it was the English War. Now, if that's conspiracy, of course the British, it's nonsense, because the British created that war. The concept of concentration camp, your audience should understand, was created by the British. They rounded up 24,000 innocent men, women and children, 24,000, put them in camps. Even Hitler said, I didn't create the concentration camps, it was the British, in order to force the Afrikaners, the South African fighters, these were farmers, to come back and take care of their kids, but instead they were slaughtered. So the British created the term Boer War. They said we were fighting for democracy and we were fighting for liberation, when in fact they were fighting for gold. The Anglo-American Corporation, which decides diamond prices every day, they were fighting for imperialism, and basically they've really been very ineffectual and very vitriolic and dangerous in their history. So what they want to hear now from a man like you, Alex Jones, is really, it's kind of a backhanded compliment. Why would the BBC spend their time to listen to Alex Jones when, in fact, they have all of the nonsense they can hear and they track, and they do what we call content analysis in the New York Times. They do the Wall Street Journal content analysis. That's what they do. I mean, they sit there in their little cubicles and read that. But unfortunately, this Alex Jones can't be contained, and he represents a part of America that Britain can call radical, conspiratorial, fundamentalist, all the little tags that do not apply. That's why this is a backhanded compliment to you. And the fact that the British are willing to take their time is an indictment of the fact that the British are really concerned and don't understand how to handle the situation where Americans are saying, listen, since 1776, get out of our way. Don't bother us. You're a failed empire, and you're a failed state now. That doesn't mean the English aren't nice people. It's just the system. It's failed. They're part of the bailout problem. They're economically a failure. They really haven't produced anything. Their growth rate is very low. They have nothing else to do. Now, at this point, America has to realign itself, reassert itself as a power, and begin to continue on and manufacturing domestically. This is what's happening.
And by the way, I want to shift gears on these politicians and their narcissism, but very well said from your great historical research. I love history myself because those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. But, you know, why do I call the Queen of England a monster?
You explained it to them. I know why you called it, but I want you to tell the American
public. Well, I'm going
to
explain it.
She is a monster.
Because we need to pull down these false idols. You have this narcissistic clown in ancient headdress meant to impress the commoners. That's what, you know, all primitive civilizations, the chief wears all the big feathers and outfit, you know, to impress everybody that's why they're in control. She's running around, you know, in this gown of diamonds from dead Afrikaners and others. And she's up there doing things a few years ago, like Diego Garcia, openly forcing, 5,000 islanders off their land, shoving it off to turn into a military base when they didn't even need to force the people off to build a military base. In fact, they were happy to have it there, and there was a base there already. I mean, that's what I'm talking about, is that I'm sick of watching her mercenaries run around and take over the planet, and watching her suspend parliament in Canada 3 times in the last 3 years, and then having to hear about how she's ceremonial and has no power when you said it, she's the biggest owner of British Petroleum. I'm tired of them meddling in my politics. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of being a slave. I don't want to be a slave. And so I'm pulling down their idols because I'm an American, as my ancestors did, burning effigies of King George III all over the 13 colonies. It's important to rebuke all of this brainwashing.
I agree with you. You have full agreement. My relations with the English is the fact that I find them sycophants. I find that it's a failed state. I find that their false idols are what they want to pay for. It's really up to the British public, who can barely afford anything else. Most of the time, I understand, they're on liquid courage. They're drunk. And they're really not producing anything. I mean, the Rolls-Royce, which was the emblem and icon of a great car, is really not even a car anymore. We don't even look at that issue. We buy our own cars. We create our own industries. Britain is finished. It's been finished since World War II and the end of World War I. The British intelligence knows this. By 1900, Britain had failed. It had a huge military. It had one of the largest navies in the world.
And that's why Lord Milner wrote a few years after that, and those have been released now. They had to start a war with Germany, and then after that they said, we're going to put horrible recriminations with the Versailles on Germany, and then hopefully that'll foment a dictator, which they then funded. And then once the dictator went wild, they used that to wreck Europe and to come in as the saviors again. That is premeditated evil.
Well, correct. I mean, let's go a little bit further. They created what we call a divide-and-conquer strategy in the Middle East. They put the Hashemite kings, who were really the descendants of Muhammad, and they, instead of putting them near Mecca and Medina in Saudi Arabia, the Arabian Peninsula, after the Ottoman Empire, they put a 4-year-old Hashemite ruler in Iraq, which did not exist there, a woman by the name of Gertrude Bell, head of MI6, under whom the famous homosexual leader, Lawrence of Arabia, was brought in and was deified by the British and their intelligence system, created this country called Iraq between Kurds, Sunni, and Shiite, which never existed, in order to unify it for revenue basis for their oil. And they then took the next Hashemite leader and put him into Jordan, or Transjordan, which never existed. And they said, this is a new leader, whereas, in fact, the real people of that area were the Berbers, were the Muslims and the Arabs. They divided and conquered so that there could never be a central power that they could not control. The same thing they did United Arab Emirates, they did it in Saudi Arabia. Aramco was really a British outfit in Saudi Arabia. They know they've lost Saudi Arabia. The issue now is between the Sunnis and the Shiites. And guess what happened? Subsequently, after they messed up the Middle East and created also the state of Israel, in order to protect the southern flank, they used Iraq to protect the northern flank, and they used Saudi Arabia to protect their southern flank in terms of the post-World War, World One, the Ottoman Empire. They then had lost World War II because they were so stretched out that they reached out through a man called Stevenson and Churchill and really begged for FDR to give them lend-lease. This was not a democratic issue. This was an issue where they were vulnerable. Their whole military had been splayed out over the Middle East and in Singapore. In Singapore, they had 35,000 soldiers at the tip of Singapore, and the Japanese came on bicycle through Malaysia into Singapore and arrested all of them. And one of the famous writers of that, who was a prisoner, was a man by the name of James Clavell, King Rat. So the British have been a disaster in strategy, a disaster in tactics. Montgomery was one of the worst generals I've ever had, but they deified him. And we had Patton, who said, you know, F to Montgomery, and he just swung around the Third Army and brought it right into Germany. So Britain has been nothing more than an anchor on the weight of America. Let it go. I think Britain knows it's not relevant. Britain understands it's just an arcane, vitriolic institution that has no relevancy to it. And let America go again. Otherwise, you know, we have nothing to do with Britain. It offers us nothing. Other than a vitriolic...
What's running the whole Libya situation? Is it Italy, France, or England, or a constellation of those three? And we have the same al-Qaeda people, again, the core of the rebels, and Obama saying, you know, the attack helicopters have to go in from the British now. What's going on with that Libya situation?
Well, Libya is where Obama, again, this ineffectual leader, basically said, look, Gaddafi has to leave. And I've been in a lot of regime change, and one of the things that I always honored was a president who kept his mouth quiet and knew what national security was. So the work we did, or I did with others, it was to take a regime down, and then the president could announce we had a transition. But we didn't make a great point of it. Let me give you an example. I was not involved in the major transition of apartheid, which was really quite an impressive transition. It was done quietly under George H. Bush Sr., quietly over 8 years. I have yet to this day heard Bush Sr. ever take credit for the change in apartheid and bringing Mandela and de Klerk out. Now, in all fairness to the British, this has got to be fair. If we're going to attack them, I also want to give them credit. It was British intelligence and sociologists who went into South Africa and for 2 to 3 years spent time with the Afrikaners and the British divisions of South Africa. There's about 3 million people. And really talked them down and worked them through so that this would be a peaceful transition. Because I thought there would be a bloodbath. So give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and let's render unto them which they did well. And they did an excellent job in that transition.
All right. Let's completely shift gears now into Wiener dealing with this narcissism, lying and saying it wasn't the photo of him, now saying it probably is, and he's in a lot of trouble. We have Schwarzenegger running around now with all these other love children. We've got Dominique Strauss-Kahn. We've got other reports out of France with other leaders. Reportedly running around with, quote, little boys in Morocco. Who are these people?
Well, you know, actually, you brought this up. You were prescient. I'm not going to flatter you, but we were prescient, and you particularly were very prescient a couple of weeks ago when I was on the radio show, and we talked about, you asked me the question, what is the profile of a politician, Republican, Democrat, British, non-British, doesn't matter. They all follow pretty much the same thing. I've treated them. I've seen them. I've worked with them. Number one, they're very narcissistic. What does that mean in a fancy word? They love themselves. You can't give them enough gratitude and adulation because every day they have to feel they're like movie stars. Between Hollywood and Congress, there's really no difference. Neither one produces anything, and neither one has a product. Secondly, they need to self-aggrandize themselves to the point that they forgot they do not represent anything other than themselves. This is the real danger of our politicians, whether they're Republicans or Democrats. Thirdly, they have to look and act good, so no one can really appeal to their narcissism or their sense of self-worth other than themselves. And in order to gratify it, these inadequate men, for the most part, many of them are very shy. They're very inadequate, both physically, emotionally, and sexually. And they go out and they go on the internet, they Twitter, to show off what they think they may or may not have, which is really not as relevant.
Stay right there, Doc. Board certified examining psychiatrist, Dr. Steve Pachinik, is our guest. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We're going to break down the mindset of our rulers. We'll be right back.
Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing. I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. No. And feeling good was easy love when he sang the blues. You know, feeling good was good enough for me.
Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. We ain't got nothing if we aren't free. We're going to have Dr. Pachinik 5 minutes the next hour. Then Bob Chapman's joining us. I got to tell you that we've got big Bilderberg coverage next week. We're going to have Luke Radowski, Jim Tucker, and others in Switzerland in St. Moritz, where it's taking place. We've got good intel also on another little meeting they're having in Geneva. And we know the other alternate spot. So we got them covered. And we've got a total of five reporters, including Mr. Skelton, a good writer for The Guardian, actually been arrested and things by the Bilderberg Group. He, one of those evil Brits, I'm joking, is going to be joining us as well. But we got Tucker, Luke Radowski, Skelton, and obviously the Watsons are going to be covering it from England. We're going to have Aaron Dykes reporting on it all next week, and we get a lot of good intel on what these globalists are up to out of that. Also, I've done an hour and 55 minutes of broadcast and have not plugged books, videos, T-shirts. If you believe in what we're doing, get the books, the videos, the T-shirts. That's what finances us. Also, support the sponsors, please. But Infowars.com, all of my films, PrisonPlanet.tv, with the... we got a week behind posting some of these new special films we've made because we don't even have a staff that's big enough to get it all done. Let me see if that's up on PrisonPlanet.tv at the Tarpley eugenics special. But it's hard to type and talk here. Bottom line, there's a lot of new stuff at PrisonPlanet.tv, and it's 15 cents a day, and your membership makes so much of what we do here possible. Going back to Dr. Steve Pachinik. Doc, continuing with the narcissism, we've got John Edwards being charged with conspiracy. I thought conspiracy didn't exist. Lying over $1 million reportedly for his mistress. Now we've got the Schwarzenegger. We've got the Wiener stuff. I mean, what is wrong with these guys? You were getting into their mindset, how they operate. As you said, they think the whole world is them.
It's correct. I mean, the issue here is, remember, Wiener has worked very closely with Clinton. I mean, continuously, he brings up the issue that his wife has worked for Bill Clinton. Now, it's not for 15 years, and I'm sure his wife is a lovely lady. She's chief of staff for Hillary Clinton. But here you get the recapitulation of a man, again, a narcissist like Bill Clinton, who has to get filleted in the White House. He's so bold and totally just doesn't care about the American public and the inappropriateness of the behavior. And here you have the recapitulation and the man who worked with him or admired him or his wife worked with him. So it's a recapitulation. The key here for the audience to understand is I don't care what they do privately, but I'm not going to pay for it as an American citizen. Right now I'm paying, and I've calculated, for 435 members of Congress, all of whom for the most part are useless, 200 senators who have really nothing to do except to create a think tank there and really can go home. We're paying about close to $2 billion a year for their salary and their staff. And the staff is there to do nothing more than to allow them to self-aggrandize, go out, get their name in the paper, and get reelected. And we don't need this anymore in America. That's our own royal parliament. So in a way, we're recapitulating the narcissism and idiocy of what I found in England. And that has created the downfall of civilization. The Chinese are watching us and seeing how we're basically wasting money, wasting an incredible, let me say again, over $2 billion just for their staffs and their own salaries, for which they've done very little. I wouldn't mind getting that kind of salary, $177,000 plus $1.5 million per staff, for doing really nothing and getting myself back at work to do nothing at the end of the day. Now, what does that mean for the American public? That means the American public, and particularly in your audience, they've got to understand. We can't.
Doc, stay there. Got a break. Back in 60 seconds. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, Dr. Steve Pachanik's really been gracious in the last month or so to give us so much time here on air. I look forward to having him back up again soon. We're almost out of time, but Doc, I love my wife, and I feel like I have a responsibility to my children. And I am a man, though. And you know, women are very attractive, but still I have a sense that, you know, there's a larger mission and I need to be faithful to my family. And I'm not saying, you know, any of us are perfect. But then you look at these politicians who have these incredible responsibilities, the Bill Clintons, the Schwarzeneggers, the Wieners, and they're always so reckless. And when you described narcissism earlier as thinking of yourself as the whole world, people think, well, that's greed. That's getting ahead. And we know narcissism is spreading. And people are narcissistic who are older and older. You're the real expert on that. But just when you described as thinking you're the whole world, I remember as a child realizing that dressing up like Batman didn't make me Batman. And I saw the other kids still thinking they were Batman. I realized that I'm part of something bigger in society and that I'm going to die, but that I do want future generations to have it good. And it's not that I'm even some great guy. I'm driven by not wanting to be a slave, not wanting to be beaten by scum, by wanting to win and seeing humanity win. And I am very aggressive. I'm not even saying I'm a perfect person, but what would you call an Alex Jones or somebody like a Steve Pachanik, who, like yourself especially, who wants to be behind the scenes, versus people sending photos of their private parts to women? And I mean, it just sounds like fifth grade behavior.
Well, you're absolutely right. I think you and I fit into a category that they would like to call whatever they want. But basically, you would say we're rogues, we're mavericks. We don't allow anybody to subsume us or make us slaves to their ideas, their icons, or to a process. And that's not what the process requires. The process wants those people who are not accountable. See, you and I are accountable for what we do in our private lives. You're accountable for what you say. I'm accountable for what I say. I'm accountable for my businesses. You're accountable for your businesses. In this process of the royalty and the process of the congressional and the political system, there is no accountability. That's why you get very weak people who have no accountability, and they just promote themselves because you can't say, hey, listen, you know, you bankrupted this company, and now you're going to bankrupt this country. You haven't had accountability on our bankers. Not one banker has yet been indicted for the most criminal acts in the world. So you have a process with no accountability, full all responsibility, but nobody's willing to take responsibility. Yet you have a system where there are people who are accountable, and you don't see their narcissism coming out. Our brave men and women who go into the field and die, whether they're in the intelligence system, the military system, or a civilian, you don't hear about them. They're quiet heroes. The quiet heroes, the people, the everyday American, does not need to say me, me, me. The politicians who have no accountability and have to continuously fed with total irresponsible process, not product, but process, has nothing to do but talk about themselves because that's all they've ever thought about. So instead of resigning, having a sense of shame, which they have no sense of shame, they have no real what we call superego, that they're responsible for their behavior, they continue to go on. Clinton was a perfect example. Oh, yes, I didn't do anything, but I corrected the economy. No, he did. The man who probably did most was Gore or whatever. But you don't see the responsible leaders. And can you imagine an Eisenhower, supreme Allied commander, doing any of these behaviors? The answer is no. And what Truman said was very clear. These men and women They confuse the office they're in with their own personality. The office of the presidency is what allows Obama to do all the narcissistic, foolish behavior that he's doing this time and bringing us to unemployment, a huge debt ceiling, and an economy that's crashing.
You know, hold on, Dr. Pacek. I want to bring
about Obama.
We've got to break. Let's finish.
He's what made him.
All right, we got a break. I want to bring you in to finish up, then have Bob Chapman throw you a question before we let you go. Just do 5 more minutes with us with Bob Chapman on the other side. Stay with us. We'll be right back. PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com. Gentlemen, we're back live. Dr. Steve Pacek about to leave us, but he was getting into Obama's narcissism. Bob Chapman was in U.S. intelligence, worked against the Russians in Germany before he went on to be the biggest private silver and gold broker and helped finance the Gary Allen report, co-authored that, helped put out None Dare Call a Conspiracy. Also, of course, fighting the whole New World Order crowd for a very long time. And Bob Chapman joins us, and I have no idea what Bob's going to ask him. Bob will be with us for the rest of the hour, getting into the huge economic developments, like Moody's saying, yes, the U.S. may lose its AAA rating. Well, it was Standard & Poor's 2 months ago said that. This is big news. A lot of financial news we're going to cover with Bob Chapman. But, Bob, I have no idea what you're going to ask Steve Pacek, but I like that wild card. Do you have any questions or comments for Dr. Steve Pacek?
First of all, Steve, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet
you. And the question I have is, do you see any possibility, considering the Manhattan District Attorney has brought charges against Goldman Sachs, that perhaps there will be more charges brought against other firms for the criminality that they got involved in?
Yes. Here's the issue. I think it's an excellent question. I don't know the gentleman, but I knew his father, Cyrus Vance Jr., and I have a very great respect for the entire family. The issue is going to come down to an indictment. Now, here's the key word. There will be an arrangement that's made with Goldman Sachs, but what I'm requesting on behalf of the American public, and I think it's very important that that be an indictment of Goldman Sachs. Now, why is that important? Because criminal charges have to be placed on Blank Fine, the deputy owner, because I was a former managing director of an investment banking firm that went under, and I took them under, and I know exactly how it has to go in terms of the investment banking firm. There will be people who will be brought in, probably the group that's the correlation trading desk, under Jonathan Eagle, E-G-O-L. The French guy was Fabrice Touré that was brought up. David Gerst will be brought up. Jordan Kaufman will be brought up. Darren Thomas will be brought up, Jeff Williams, Shin Yukawa, and the Goldman employees from other departments that were involved in Abacus, as you know.
By the way, did you have intel on this? Because you've said in the last few interviews they need to be indicted, they will be indicted. Did you have some scuttlebutt?
No, but let me tell you what happened. I'm a businessman. I didn't have any inside information on any of this, but it's not hard, like you do, Alex, to go in and to notice a year before, and Chapman can tell you this, a year before they were indicted and investigated, Goldman Sachs was selling these artificial securitized CDOs, securitized debt obligations, which really meant nothing. It was artificially created. Then telling, and they were coming in and buying against their own products and shorting it. So you could see it on the market. I saw it on the market. I called up several people. And I said, listen, this is an indictment. This criminal activity is going on. I was dismissed, and I said repeatedly, if you do not indict these people at Goldman Sachs, Bear Stearns, you're talking about J.P. Morgan, you're talking about Morgan Stanley, none of them are clean. By the way, let's go back to the rating agency, Moody. here's an issue where we got to go to Warren Buffett, who should be investigated repeatedly and has been brought up as this false narrative hero of America, this poor old man whom everybody goes to, but in fact owned Moody's, took all of the junk product, as Chapman can tell you, which was rated at double E. That's very low tranche. That means it's a junk of the junk. Moody's then rated it as AAA and sold that artificial, non-existing product of mortgage SDOs and then FDSs and sold it all over the world where everybody got fees, millions and hundred millions of dollars of fees. Now, if you don't tell me that Warren Buffett should be indicted, that Blankfein should be indicted, that Jack Fine should be indicted, and instead we have this nonsensical movie and book story about it, Too Big to Fail, where they made a hero out of Paulson, out of Geithner, and out of Bernanke, all of whom were incompetent, and Greenspan should be indicted because he took this whole economy right over the abyss and comes back and tells the American public, oh, this was a little aberration. No, it goes back to the issue of narcissism. It goes back to the issue of accountability. The American public must insist on criminal indictments, Mr. Chapman.
Yes, and for those that don't know,
criminal indictments goes all the way to Blankfein. He has to go to prison. It goes to Warren Buffett. It goes to Moody's. It goes to S&P. There are no innocent people in this business. Then you go
Dr. Pechenik, for those that don't know, back on May 25th, Cyrus Vance Jr. Did announce the indictment of major organized groups. And he's also moving towards other indictments, talking about some of these different banks. But Bob Chapman, briefly, give us the latest on these moves towards indictment.
Only what I've read in the press, and they're in the process of doing so. And they did indict Mr. Edwards today, if you hadn't heard.
No, they did.
Well, that's not enough.
Yes, they did. But I've been writing about this ever since before it happened. And this whole episode of the mortgages and the securitization, and especially, I just can't believe that the rating agencies get away with what they get away with, and the civil suits against them were dismissed, which I couldn't believe.
You're right.
And so the question
explain
comes
why
up,
they were dismissed and why they should have been criminally indicted, Mr. Chapman.
By the way, speaking of Blankfein at Goldman Sachs, they've now sent him subpoenas today.
That's right. But
to Goldman Sachs,
Steve,
it's
what
not
did you just say there?
It's a beginning, but not enough. Cyrus Vance Jr. has to understand there has to be an indictment, criminal indictment, not just of the Daniel Sparks, who's the department head of Goldman Sachs Mortgage Department. It has to go all the way up to the CEO. There is no, and I can categorically tell you, there is no investment banking firm, particularly Goldman Sachs, which prides itself on being a team organization. Translated, it means they're under total tight control under Blankfein, who was a trader, T-R-A-D-E-R, and also could be a trader of the American public. Basically, there has to be criminal indictment. It's not enough to get a civil suit out of this. And if they're going to pay a penalty again and not admit guilt, we have not accomplished the job that we should have on behalf of the American public. And that's where Mr. Levin, Senator Levin of the Senate, has to come in, and that's where Holder and Simon. Now, what's interesting in all of this, Bob and Alex, is that it's the Attorney General of Manhattan that's bringing suit. It's not the federal government. And the question is, why is the federal government not involved? The SEC should have brought in the indictment.
Well, that Attorney General better not fly anytime soon, or he better not be visiting, any women he shouldn't, or he'll end up like the governor in New York. Expanding on this, if you just joined us, ladies and gentlemen, 2 weeks ago, the Rolling Stone, which is a little mouthpiece of a certain area of the establishment, came out and said the Senate committee has found criminal activity by Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan. Where are the indictments? And we see things moving in that direction, and we see some of the underlings getting in trouble. But that was my next point. We need to see the big guys get in trouble, because now, since the bailouts, they haven't stopped all this fraud. They've actually taken the bailout money and put it back into the kitty. Well, listen, great talking to you, Dr. Steve Pechenik, stevepechenik.com.
It's a pleasure, and it's an honor. Thank you very much, and thank your people for listening.
Thank you, and we'll talk to you again hopefully very soon. Take care. Going back to Bob Chapman for the balance of the hour, Bob, so much is happening. I want to tackle first, what do you make of Moody's coming out yesterday? For those that don't know, now the second of the big three rating agencies behind Standard & Poor's, and saying that it looks like the U.S. could lose its credit rating. Is that saber-rattling by the establishment to get them to raise the debt ceiling, or is something else happening?
Two things, the debt ceiling and also the purification of the next quantitative easing, whatever they may call it. And they want both of them, and they want them desperately, because without them, they're going to have serious problems. If the legislation is not passed to extend the debt limit to, say, $16.3 trillion, which is short-term debt, what's going to happen is that the federal government will have to continue to take money from the pension plan, which is supposed to be going into those plans. Instead, it's being diverted into running the government. And if we get to August the 2nd or before, and they say, okay, we've made a deal here, we're going to do this, that, and the other thing, and it's all fixed up. But how are they going to pay back the pension plan the money? That means that they're going to have to issue even more bonds. On the other hand, if that's rejected, you're going to have a circus. Number one, there will be a downgrading, and that's what Moody's and Fitch and S&P are trying to tell people. But it is being used as scare tactics as well. And most of what the government does and has done is usually hollow.
All right, let me stop you. We're going to break. You called it again, over and over again, for the last 6 months. You said there will be QE3. They're going to say they're not doing it, but they will. And you've said that for the last month, every week, every Friday. Said it last week. So now, on record, they're coming out and saying, well, we're going to do QE3, but we're not going to call it that. So let's talk about what that means and how you were able to predict that they would not just have QE3, or for layman, turning up the printing presses at light speed, but how you knew they'd lie about it, because they didn't lie on the last two rounds. So how'd you know that, Bob? We'll break that down on the other side. What's coming up for gold and silver, other major commodities? We'll look at a bunch of other news as well. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
What we need is at least 10 state attorney generals, or if we have to, local district attorneys, to start criminal investigations on J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, and others. I mean, they've committed crimes publicly. I mean, even the establishment Rolling Stone says indict them. I mean, they've destroyed our civilization if they can basically get the first down and make another goal on us. I mean, they've sold the fraud, too big to fail. We're attached to this time bomb. We've got to cut this time bomb off of us and push it over the edge of a cliff. And that means bringing these people to justice, because if it's allowed to explode, it's the end of society. There's no way to pay all this off. We don't owe it. It's a fraud. Same thing for Iceland. Same thing for Ireland. Same thing for Portugal, Greece. It's a fraud. Going back to Bob Chapman, Bob, you called it. You said they've got to do QE3. They're going to do QE3, but they're not going to say they're doing QE3. Then they came out and said, we're not doing QE3. And then now they're basically still monetizing the debt and moving forward.
And they have to. They can't afford any gap. You saw the first quarter GDP, it was up 1.8%. Now, mind you, about $1.8 trillion was pumped into the economy. And that's all I got? I thought they'd even do better than that.
And that's with cooked numbers. We know they're cooking the GDP, like unemployment.
Well, it's probably even worse than that then. But even the second quarter, I think if they illegally, bogusly, come in with 1.5% to 2%, the second two, the third and fourth quarters, are going to be dreadful. They'll be zero to minus unless they get this money quickly into the economy. Now, I'm not talking about only the purchase of Treasury securities with money made up of thin air. I'm talking about them getting into the economy and trying to make things happen. And they've got to do that. And I think that's what they'll try to do this time, whether they want to do it or not. And so that will be the next step. And we're going through the fallout of the stage of QE1 and stimulus one right now with approximately 10% inflation. It'll be 14 by the end of the year. Next year, we'll get the fallout inflation-wise from QE2, stimulus 2. And that should take us up to 25% inflation, maybe 30. And then if we have the QE3 from anywhere between 1.7 and 2.5 trillion in this coming year and a half that's coming up, then we got a shot at 50% inflation, which is hyperinflation. And that's where this thing's headed. And that's why some of the members of the Fed are saying, gee, we can't do this.
Yeah, yeah, that's rats leaving the sinking ship now. The Dallas Fed, Kansas City Fed, and others. Open, and Greenspan earlier this year at the Jekyll Island anniversary meeting said, big banks have engaged in crime. He's basically tattling on their own system to act like he's not a kingpin in it. But to have more and more of their own board members denouncing what's happened shows they understand that they have bitten off more than they can chew. As Brzezinski said last year, people aren't looking at puppet presidents anymore. They know who's running the show. They know who to blame.
And that's why it's so important that we keep up this crusade that you're doing and others like you on radio as well as through the internet. We're beating them to death. As you said a few weeks ago, we're breathing down their collar and they don't know what to do. And that is the truth. We're beating them and we got to keep it up until we stop them.
We're starting to beat the TSA. They just cut $270 million of their funding. Congress moving with laws to ban the grope downs and machines. Texas is trying to reintroduce the bill to ban it. Other states are moving. Polls are showing over 90% are against it. I mean, on every front, when we fight, we win.
And that's absolutely right. And all we have to do is very simply tell the truth. And Steve was just on. I asked him the right question. He was very much imbued in that whole thing. He understood and came up with the lightning-fast answer. This is what we ought to do to them. I've been saying that for a long time, but he doesn't have my venue. And he's absolutely right. We got to put them away. We got to take their wealth away from them and give it to the government to reduce our debt. That's what we got to do.
And then we don't have to raise taxes. We don't have to cut all of the safety net. And I'm against the main safety net because it makes us dependent. But it's a red herring to say cut all of this and raise taxes when that wouldn't fix anything, Bob.
And, you know, all these people are sitting with hundreds of millions of dollars or billions that could go into our economy to solve some of these problems without having to tax the poor people more. Alan Greenspan was in CNBC this morning talking about taxes like they were when Mr. Clinton was in office. Top tax rate was 80-90%. I mean, what is this guy thinking about?
Well, they write the laws where
they're
exempt with all this offshoring, and they want to take our money and give it to them. They want to destroy the poor people and the middle class, and it ain't happening, crooks. You went too far. We'll be right back with Bob Chapman. Your calls, too. I'll get the number out. 1-800-259-923.
Your window when I'm leaving.
I won't even turn my head.
Don't send your kin folks to give me no talking.
I'll be gone
like I said.
We're off your mainstream media reservation.
You'd say the same
We're
old
done.
Thing that you've been saying all
We're
along.
Fed up.
Lay there in your bed.
We see through all your slick talk.
Give me that old familiar crying, cussing, moan.
Understand your man.
Understand your man. I'm tired of your bad mouth.
You're our servant, government.
Understand your man.
The people are the man in this country, not your slaves. Going back to Bob Chapman and Aaron, Jack, Nathan, Mario, Nick, and others here in just a moment. But, you know, I came up with the term resistance is victory, but to simplify that even more, we fight, we win. You know, laying down, you're going to lose. You fight, you win. by increments. But it just feels good to not care anymore. You think I care when the BBC's here? If they air that, me calling the Queen of England horrible names? She deserves it. I don't care. I don't care what they do to me. I don't care if they ban me going to England like Michael Savage. I don't care. I'll say what I want. People need to start walking tall, going into state capitals, getting in their politicians' faces and say, you reintroduced that bill, scum. And they've now reintroduced it. You heard the state rep earlier. And you, the listeners, deserve the lion's share of credit for taking action and the great folks that marched in there last week. It's great to have a rally out front on the weekend. It's great to march down the street, but there's nothing like getting in their face and letting them hear your war growl. Now, going back to Bob to hit other key areas that he thinks are important, because I got a lot of questions for him. I always like to hear what he's mainly focused on. But before I go any further, I want to thank some of the sponsors that made this transmission possible. I want to tell you about a product the drug companies don't want you to know about. It's called OsteoK. OsteoK is an osteoporosis supplement shown to decrease fractures. And they got all the documents on their site, 87% without any of the dangerous side effects of medications. This is truly a revolution that takes the power away from Big Pharma with all their toxic drugs and puts it right in your hands. I urge you to take charge of your health. I cannot recommend this breakthrough product enough. Go to NBIHealth.com. That's www.NBIHealth.com or call 800-624-1416 right now and start taking OsteoK today, 800-624-1416. I also want to tell you about a great superfood, great green food that I've been taking for years. My wife loves it. Innerfood is a revolutionary 100% organic green superfood energy drink with powerful nutritional for better health, energy, mental clarity, and immune system support. It was even voted best superfood by our friend Mike Adams at Natural News because it's composed of nearly 50% chlorella, spirulina, kelp, and dulse, as well as a whole bunch of other superfoods. It's 20 of them. It is also high in nutritionally occurring iodine, which helps safeguard against harmful effects of radiation. Give them a call today at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or visit them on the web at www.innerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R-food.com. Banners also at Infowars.com. All right, Bob, I've been asking some of the questions, and I'm sure you've got some other little tidbits that you want to get into or cover. What's your take on the state of the union right now? And then I want to get into all this hype about hacking happening by foreign governments right when they're trying to pass the Cybersecurity Act. I predicted this would happen. No doubt this is the false flag. Right on time, the Chinese and the Russians attack right when the globalists are trying to pass this new global treaty to openly arrest people with no judge, no jury, 5 years in prison for embedding a YouTube video. I mean, that's actually in the bill. Drudge has it linked today. Bob, what's your take?
It's not unexpected. They will try to do what they can do to slow everything down and to be able to continue to try to control what is said and what is done. And these kinds of things arise throughout society. You just mentioned the TSA experience in Texas. We have SWAT teams shooting people 64 times. If you've ever shot people, two or three times is usually sufficient. I don't know what these policemen were thinking about.
One guy was around the house and ran around once the Marine, and we now learn the gun was on safety, dead in his own house, and just wanted to get some and unloaded a few clips into him as well.
Yeah, that's right. And
hey, guys, this is not deer hunting. This is not deer hunting. Even if somebody needs to be killed, it's a solemn act. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, well, they think it's a party because they envision in their minds that this person was, in fact, a criminal simply because he had a gun, and only the police should have them. And I guess they pick certain types of people to be on those crews, so to speak. But that's a very, very terrible act. And these sort of things have got to stop. Because in the long run, it's not only the victims. It's going to destroy the effectiveness of law enforcement. I mean, they're supposed to be there to help people, not murder them.
Yeah, they're losing the moral high ground, which the system wants, so it's an us against them, and then cops see reflected by the public the mistrust. And that's why more and more people are just tired of it, and a lot of cops are starting to get killed. I mean, I don't think the police, even though they feel like they're tough in their black uniforms, really want a war with the American people. I don't think that's going to look too nice.
Well, they can't win. My goodness. What is there, 500,000 of them? There's 200 million people in America know how to shoot. You know, case closed. But, you know, there's all these other things that are going on that you mentioned during your show, and it tends to continue to grind against the freedom of our country. And it puts the average person on the defensive all the time. I just talked to a man on a program, and he is going to go from one city to another. It's a 2.5-3 hour drive, I mean a 2.5-day drive, because his daughter's going to return too near where they are because she was offered a splendid job. And he's got to go and drive with her because he's afraid, not of her getting robbed or raped or murdered, he's afraid of the police. And that's not good. And so we shouldn't have that kind of thing in America. The police should be there helping people. Not along the highway looking for prey.
Yeah, you've got family that are police. I mean, I've got family that are police. I mean, this is not the way we want to go here.
Not at all. I mean, we need the police. We need people to get bad people and put them in jail. I mean, I don't want to go out and have to do that. Neither do you. And it's not a nice job either. It's a very, very difficult job. So we want to support them, but you've got to get rid of those people that are doing things like that. It's got to stop. And I heard a police chief on one of your tapes say, well, if they don't bring in the money from stopping these vehicles, I guess this is in Tennessee, then, then we do let them go. I mean, I can't believe
where are the police unions saying you can't order the officers to go rob people's wallets? I mean, what's coming next?
I don't know. But it'll reach a point where it'll get very dangerous for the police. And you know, once 20 or 30 of them get killed, then maybe they get the message. Because there's lots of people out there who know how to handle weapons far better than they do.
Well, it's not just that. There's a lot of people fed up who just don't care anymore. And that's what's and this country's going into the depression. There's war zones, riots, the killings are all increasing of citizens, cops, everybody. We're going into a very dangerous time, and I don't have some macho hair in me that hopes all this goes nasty. I want stability. I want free market. I want our republic back. And the globalists are going to sit back in their armored redoubts while we all kill each other. I would rather it not go that direction, Bob.
Well, I agree with you completely, and let's hope that law enforcement management is listening, and they say, no, I got to make sure this is not going to happen in my department, and he calls all the offices in, and he says, look, we can't have that kind of thing going on. You go out of your way to avoid that. No shooting people 64 times, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and everybody knows what I'm talking about. They got to straighten up and fly right, and, you know, 85% of them are good people. And it's like any other profession, 15% are ratty people, whether they're stockbrokers or truck drivers or policemen. It doesn't make any difference. There's bad people in the world.
Except a truck driver can't get away with doing bad stuff for long.
Well, he's got a big rig. I don't know who he's going to put it.
Yeah, well, the point is
anyway, we should talk a wee bit about Greece.
Let's do that and then go to calls. Let's do that.
Yeah, and we don't know what the particulars are. Unfortunately, I'll get this late this afternoon from all of our people in Greece and all over the weekend, so I'm not going to really tell you what the real story is and what probably will happen until Monday. And, you know, you and I and Alex and a few others went on radio and television over there, and I must say we created a big impression, and people listened. And I'm so glad we had that opportunity to be able to help, because we are helping.
Well, continue then, Bob. Break it down.
Well, I don't know what the deal is. They're talking in terms of $70 billion worth of assets being sold. I don't think they should sell anything. They went through a year 35 to 40% less salaries, and people who are retiring at 50 have to retire at 70 now. And those are very, very severe cuts. Business is almost non-existent. We have subscribers who own businesses there, big businesses as well as small ones, and everybody's hurting. What they should have done is phased in the austerity over 5 years and phased in tax increases over 5 years. And that would have been far more acceptable, because now, if the people aren't making the money, the revenue's coming in, not coming in, and so how can they pay their bills? Impossible. And this is what the IMF and those people who don't care about the financial and economic resuscitation of Greece would do. Their GDP has fallen off a cliff, and it's going to continue to stay there. And any money that they give to them after they might sell off some of their assets, let's say they get another $50 or $100 billion, whatever it is, it'll be gone in a year. And they're going to be right back where they were before because of the approach that was taken in solving the problem. Mr. Tsemeris, who runs the opposition party, has a great plan, a plan similar to that. And I think it'll work. And I think if they try to put this thing through, either one or two things could very well happen. Number one, throwing the president out of office. Number two, there could be a military coup. And that country has known that before. In 74, they had a military coup. I don't know how many years were in it. They were in power, I think three or four, and that was it. But they caused a lot of damage because they didn't have experience in business and running those sort of things. And that's understandable. So there's two sides to that. But those kind of things can happen. Those people are fed up. There's 150,000 plus people in the street every day. There's been very little, if any, violence. I have a link on that those demonstrations, which you probably have, in Spain. People sitting and standing and doing nothing, being attacked viciously by the police. It was horrible. I just couldn't believe what they were doing, breaking people's arms and legs and crushing their heads for no reason. And so they keep that stuff up in Spain, they will have a revolution.
Oh, it's going to happen. And all over the world, the globalists have come in with continuity of agenda and trained cops to act like this, because the criminals knew the economy was going to implode, and now they're telling the police, go do this or society will collapse. Society will collapse if we don't get these globalist parasites off our backs. It's in their official IMF World Bank plans, 2002, to do this by design. Get it? Join the right team, people in government, you idiots. Let's go ahead and talk to Aaron in Nevada. Aaron, you're on the air worldwide.
Hey, thank you very much, GlennOn.com. I got two comments and a question for each of you, if it's okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. The main thing we got to do here overall is change the messages running down through the chain of command. Number two, just like the founding fathers, ultimate risk cannot be avoided to change or challenge the NWO's grand design. You can't avoid it. So question for you, Bob. I think there's a crossroads right now with gold and silver. I want to put you on the spot right here. If you had one to choose from this point forward to the end of the year, gold or silver?
Silver always has more leverage, no question. But I am recommending 50-50, half of each in your investment portfolio. And because I don't know, and I don't think anybody else does, exactly what's going to happen. I mean, we've got these ulterior forces of J.P. Morgan Chase, HSBC, Goldman Sachs, Citi, and the United States government.
But historically, QE3 will only drive up commodities, including gold and silver.
That's right, and that's the bottom line. You're absolutely correct, Alex. In the final analysis, no matter what they do, that's what's going to happen.
Let's
inflation and higher prices, and they can't stop them.
Yeah, and they can play games for a while, but you watch the 12-year graph, it shows it goes down for a while, but always up more after that because of the laws of finance and commodities. Jack in Japan, thanks for holding. Jack, you're on the air with Bob Chapman.
Thanks, Alex. Hey, listen, I know that you've been hammering the TSA and the global economy today, but I'd like to change gears and talk about Fukushima, if that's okay, sir.
Yeah, it's just the radiation keeps exploding off the charts, drifting across the U.S. It's just absolutely horrible. Go ahead.
It is. It is. Listen, the Kyoto News Agency here locally is reporting a new explosion as of May 31st at the number 4 reactor, and that's the building which is currently leaning or listing about 8 degrees on the top two floors, damaged apparently by the explosion of the number 3 yep. reactor. This is of particular import because it's in the number 4 reactor, according to my research. It holds the most and also the freshest spent fuel, including plutonium.
That was confirmed. We covered that earlier in the week, and it's just unbelievable. And it's much bigger than Chernobyl, and our media isn't covering it, and our government's raising the radiation levels and saying what's safe. Bob Chapman.
I think you guys have covered that. It's kind of out of my realm in a way. I was on the phone with Tokyo this morning, and I said, what's going to happen? They said to me, well, all they do is lie to us. And so we don't know any more than you do.
Everybody knows. It's just insane. I mean, at Chernobyl, they had the kids not drink milk and local produce for 6 months. It's higher levels of radiation here now, and they just say, hey, it's nutritious, eat it. I mean, things have really changed. Anything else from Japan, sir?
Well, yeah, the other thing I wanted to bring up is that there are places where, you know, the kids are getting 3 millisieverts.
Stay there. Let's break it down on the other side. Yeah, it was over a month ago that the chief government scientist of the prime minister resigned and said that they're telling kids to stay just 10 kilometers away from Fukushima. And that it will kill them all. Won't even have to wait more than a year. They're going to die. And that the radiation just keeps building up. It just keeps pluming out and piling up. And I've seen the reports where they admit that it's devastation that can't even be described. But that was the point you were getting at Jack in Japan.
Yeah, I mean, basically, there's areas where they're getting 3 millisieverts per hour. You calculate that out, that's 525 chest x-rays per year. And the government's response is that the kids should wear these little paper hay fever masks and long-sleeve shirts. And so it's no surprise that in a recent mainstream medium poll that over 80% of the people said that they did not believe that the government was selling them the full truth, and that the Prime Minister Khan currently has a 1.37 approval rating according to how he's handling this this event and has promised to resign.
All right. Thank you so much for that. Let's go ahead and take another call here with Bob Chapman. Let's talk to Nathan in Pennsylvania. Nathan, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. I'm a tool and die maker from Meadville, Pennsylvania. And, you know, I always hear the old guys say, you know, back in the day you could leave this job and go to another tool shop and make a dollar more if you wanted to. You know, and they yell about there not being any jobs. Well, why didn't they ever ask any questions about where the jobs were going?
Bob Chapman, comments?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it was beyond them, most of them, to understand. I don't think that they had the kind of training, in fact, I certainly don't think they had, to identify what free trade, globalization, offshoring, and outsourcing were all about. And many, many people with multiple degrees don't, and they still don't. It's about destroying the American economy. And they're victims. It's not only on tool and die making. Now they're taking work away from attorneys and even anesthesiologists and architects. And of course, you've heard all about the call centers. And so this destruction of the American economy is ongoing. It just continues. And everybody's suffering. You know, we've lost 11 million jobs in 11 years. To free trade and globalization.
And the media says you're racist if you don't want to give your job up to third world countries. when the third worlder standards are going down, the globalists aren't lifting them up by pulling us down. They're pushing everybody down.
And that's the true statement. And that's going to continue until we can get Congress to pass a law reinstituting tariffs on goods and services. All we want is a level playing field.
Of course, China has a giant tariff.
America for 75 cents. And you make a broom in China for 50 cents, there's a tariff of 25 cents in each broom that comes in from China. And if the Chinese brooms are better, well, they'll do better. It's as simple as that. They'll sell more. But that money will go into federal treasury, which in turn will reduce our debt.
Bob, we are just flat out of time. I really look forward to talking to you again next Friday here. We'll be covering Bilderberg Group, Intel, next week. I'll be back this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Folks can go to theinternationalforecaster.com and check out your information or call 800-686-2237 and get a free complimentary copy, hard copy, or email of the latest. It comes out twice a week. It's invaluable. 800-686-2237. Bob Chapman, thank you so much.
You're welcome, and thank you all for listening.
Great week. Great job, crew. I'm going to go do battle with the MI6 BBC boys. After this, I'll be back Sunday live, 4 to 6 p.m. Weren't live last weekend because of the holiday, but it was good retransmission. Big guest next week. I'm just going to leave it at that. Big article at Infowars.com. No conspiracy theory. WikiLeaks cable confirms North American Union secret integration. Get it out to everybody.